ജയം വിഷുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തര ശര ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹർഷിയിലെ പ്രഭുപാദ ജയം നിത്യലീലാ പ്രവിഷ്ട വിഷുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തര ശര ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തി സിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹർഷിയിലെ പ്രഭുപാദ അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവൃന്ദക്ക് രമാചാര്യ ശ്രീ ഹരദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗര ഭക്തവൃന്ദക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാ കൃഷ്ണ ഗോപ ഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ഡഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധാമിക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാംക്ക് മായപ്പൂർ ധാംക്ക് മധുരപുരി ധാംക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരി ധാംക്ക് മായാപുരി ധാംക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സമവേ സരസ്വതി ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണി നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരി ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ
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 ഓം അജ്ഞാന വിരാന്തസ്യ ജ്ഞാനാഞ്ജന ശലാകയ വന്ദേഹം ശ്രീഗുരു ശ്രീയുതാപദകമലം ശ്രീഗുരും വൈഷ്ണവാംശ ശ്രീരൂപം സാഗ്രജാതം സഹഗണരഘുനാഥാന്വിതം തം സജീവം ൂതം പരിജനസഹിതം കൃഷ്ണചൈതന്യദേവം
ശ്രീരാധാകൃഷ്ണപദാം
സഹഗണലളിതം ശ്രീവിശാഖാൻവിതം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്തസ്വാമിനിതി നാമിനേ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവി ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണി ശ്രീവർഷാനുവിദേവിധ വിജ്ഞാന പ്രഭവേ നമ ശ്രീയോഗാനുഗഭക്തി ശ്രീഗൗരഗണമാശക്തി വിഗ്രഹായ നമോസ്തുതേ നമസ്തേ ഗൗരവാണി ശ്രീമൂർത്തയേ ദീനതാരിണേ പൂർവായോഗവിരുദ്ധാവസ്ഥിതാമൃതാന്തഹാരിണേ നമോ ഗൗരകിശോരായ സാക്ഷാത് വൈരാഗ്യമൂർത്തയേ വിപ്രലഭം വരസാംബോധേ പദാംബുജായതേ നമഃ നമോ ഭക്തിവിനോദായ സച്ചിദാനന്ദനാമിനേ ൈഷവേഭ്യോ നമോ നമഃ നമോ മഹാബലന്യായ കൃഷ്ണ പ്രേമ പ്രദായതേ ജഗൽപദേശോപിഗാതീർഗതി ശ്രീമന്ത്രോവിന്ദേവോ
ഗൗരാംഗീ രാധേ വൃന്ദാവനേശ്വരി പ്രണാമി പ്രിയേ ജയ ശ്രീ കൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ രാധാ ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗര ഭക്തവൃന്ദ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ ഹരേ രാമ 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ ഓം വാർത്തായ പ്രതിബോധിതാം ഭഗവതാം നാരായണേന സ്വയം വ്യാസേന ഗ്രഥിതാം പുരാണമുനിനാം മധ്യേ മഹാഭാരതം അദ്വൈതാമൃതവർഷിണീം ഭഗവതീം അഷ്ടാദശാധ്യായിനീം അമൃത്വാ മനസംധാമി ഭഗവദ്ഗീതേ ഭവദ്വേഷിണീം നമോസ്തു വ്യാസവിശാല ബുദ്ധേ കുലഹരവിന്ദായ നമത്ര നേത്രം യേന ത്വയാ ഭാരതതൈലപൂർണ പ്രജ്വാലിതോ ജ്ഞാനമയ പ്രദീപ പ്രപന്ന പാരിജാതായ തോത്രവേത്രൈകബാണയേ ജ്ഞാനമുദ്രായ കൃഷ്ണായ ഗീതാമൃതദുഹേ നമഃ സർവോഷധോ ഭാവോ ദുഗ്ധാ ഗോപാലനന്ദനം പാപോ വത്സ സുധീർഭോക്താ ദുഗ്ധം ഗീതാമൃതം മഹത് വസുദേവ സുതം ദേവം കംസ ചാണൂരമർദനം ദേവീ പരമാനന്ദം കൃഷ്ണം വന്ദേ ജഗദ്ഗുരും ഭീഷ്മദ്രോണതടാ ജയദ്രഥജല ഗാന്ധാരനീലോൽപല ശല്യഗ്രാഹവതി കൃപേണ വഹനീ കർണേന വേലാകുല അശ്വത്ഥാമാ വികർണഘോരനഗരാ ദുര്യോധനാവർത്തിനി സുതീർണ ഖലു പാണ്ഡവൈരണനദീ കൈവർത്തകകേശവ പാരാശര്യസരോജമലം ഗീതാർത്ഥഗന്ധോൽക്കടം നാനാഖ്യാനകേസരം ഹരികഥാ സംബോധനാഭോദിതം ലോകേ സജ്ജന ശൽപദൈരഹർഹ പ്രേവീയമാനം മുദാ ഉയാ ഭാരത പങ്കജ കലിമല പ്രധ്വംസിന ശ്രേയസേ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ കൃപാഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം
ദൈവാസുര സമ്പദ് വിഭാഗ യോഗം 15th ചാപ്റ്റർ ദി വി സോ കൃഷ്ണ ബിഗിൻസ് ദിസ് ചാപ്റ്റർ വിത്ത് സെർട്ടൻ സ്പെസിഫിക് ക്വാളിഫിക്കേഷൻസ് കൃഷ്ണ സേസ് നെസസറി ടു ഡിവലപ്പ് ദി ദേവി സമ്പത്തി. ദേവി സമ്പത്തി മീൻസ് ഡിവൈൻ നേച്ചർ. Isn't it? So, at the end of this chapter, Krishna will say in a different way. What he says there is that this Devi Sambhati and Asura Sambhati, the major difference is, Krishna says, those who have got Devi Sambhati, they will follow Shastra. Those who have demonic Sambhati or demonic nature, they wouldn't care for the Shastra. Krishna concludes it like that. He says, Ya Shastram Vidhi Ulsrajyam Vartade Kamakaraga Nasa Siddhim Avapnodi Na Sukham Na Parangadim. Krishna's point is that one who does not follow Shastram, Shastram's importance Krishna is stressing in this chapter. Ya Shastram Vidhim Ulsrajyam. One who does not care for Shastram, vartade kama karaka. He works according to his mental state. Kama karaka, based on his desires, he operates in this world. Such a person, Krishna says, nasa siddhim na avapnodi. He says such a person has no future. Na siddhim na parangarim. He will never become perfect, neither he will reach the destination. Both does not happen to him. So one reason why this chapter was spoken was to stress the importance of Shastram. Two verses, Krishna stressed the importance of Shastram. Again, tasmal shastram pramanam de. He says, shastram is the authority. We can't, because shastram has come from the rishis, the sages. They had in there, after, they have gone through the very deep levels of existence, human existence they have analyzed. And they have come to the conclusions that what they have given us in the form of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam and Upanishads, the understanding is that the shastram pramanam de, shastram is pramanam, pramanam means authority. We can't question the authority of the shastram. Tasman shastram pramanam de, kahiyavaya vyavasthitam. What is the right and wrong thing to do, to know that, we require shastram. Krishna is saying, and yatva shastra vidhanoktam karma kartam iharhasi. After knowing shastram, with that knowledge only, one should work in this world. Jnatva shastra vidhanoktam karmam kartam iharkasi. One can carry out with the karmam what he has to do. Otherwise, what will happen is he will go and do a lot of vigarmam, things which are forbidden in this world. Therefore, shastram puts that limitations. It puts us in a boundary wall all around us. It builds that boundary so that you don't go out of line and do things which are not acceptable from the Rishi's point of view. In order that the life to become perfect, Krishna is saying, and the life to reach the destination, what it is meant to be, realizing the truth, it is necessary, Shastram is necessary, Krishna said. So, and after saying that, immediately Arjuna asked the question in the next chapter, that what was the reason? Ye Shastra Vidimul Sarjya Yajande Shravayanvita. Arjuna wanted to understand that if you don't follow Shastram, what will happen? That is how the next chapter begins. So in this chapter, Krishna concludes with the authority of the Shastram. And in the next chapter, Arjuna immediately asks the question, what will happen to someone who doesn't follow the Shastram? These three chapters, 16th, 17th and the 18th chapter, what we mentioned before as Kilam. Kilam means that it's good to know this. The science, the Shastram is finished at the 15th chapter. But in the process of the execution of Shastram in one's own life, we can get easily misled in different directions. In order not that to happen, the 16, 17 chapters were spoken. 18th chapter is practically a summary of the whole thing. But 16th and 17th is particularly to stress the importance that Shastram is important. And if you do not take Shastram seriously, then whatever you do, you may be anyone in this world, does not matter. Shastram is the authority. That is why we have to keep close contact with the Shastram all the time. Shastra vidimul srajya vartade kamakaraka, Krishna is saying, that if you ignore Shastram and you think that if you know everything and you do things, so you heard this, you heard that, that will not do. Krishna is saying, Shastra vidimul srajya vartade kamakaraka, na siddhinam avapnodi. He says there, that na siddhim avapnodi, na sukham na parangadi. So all those things comes later in this chapter. But we have seen before, Shastram says to us certain things. In the beginning, Shri Bhagavan Vacha, Krishna says, abhaya sattva samshuddhir jnana yoga vyavasthiti dhanam damascha yajnascha swadhyaya stava arjavam. That is what we started with, isn't it? And the first thing Krishna referred to was abhayam. Abhayam. We have seen what abhayam means, isn't it? The nature. What does abhayam means actually? In that relationship, Krishna mentions to us that that the abhayam, where does abhayam come? Fearlessness. Fearlessness is not based on the body. not that that fearlessness is not based on the body. In Krishnavataram we have seen that how Krishna has broken away all the rules and regulations of this world and showed it to us that the main reason is that Krishna is exhibiting there in his own pastimes, showing it to us that the ideal householder in his life in this world, how one should conduct himself. One should conduct himself. So there we have talked about this, that Sudama was a householder, ideal householder he was, is it not? He comes to visit Krishna. Krishna asks Sudama, how are you? Sudama says, I am very peaceful. Sudama asks Krishna, how are you? Krishna says, I am also very peaceful. The Supreme Lord, who is the richest of all, who has got all the opulences, is saying, I am very peaceful. Sudama, who is the other extreme, he says, I am very peaceful. So what does it indicate? Money is not the one that makes shanti in life. It is that state of conscious realization of the self. Sudama in his extreme poverty, but with the highest realization of the self, saying to Krishna that I am extremely peaceful in life. Krishna is saying with all the opulences, I am in extreme peacefulness. Both of them are saying the same thing, isn't it? So we mentioned there also that in Vishnu Sahasranamam, thousand names of Vishnu, he mentions that Shandagaram Bhujaga Shayanam. Mahavishnu is Shanti always, isn't it? Peacefulness. Bhujaga Shayanam, lying on the snake, Adishesha. Padmanabham Suresham. From his navel comes the lotus flower, Lord Brahma is sitting there. Vishwagaram Gagana Sadrasham Meghavarnam Shubhangam. That Vishwagaram, Vishwam is Vishnu, Vishwam by Vishnu. Vishnu is Vishwam. Vishnu is Vishwam. Because Vishnu's expansion is this. We will discuss this later in the Bhagavadam, in the Ekadasha Skandam, when we talk about creation. We will see this explained much better. So anyway, important point is that Krishna is saying here that Shanti is important and Shanti comes from this Abhayam. Shanti comes from Abhayam, that fearlessness. That fearlessness is an indication of that Shanti, Shanti inside. In Anandashramam, in Kanyangad, there was one lady, Krishna Bhai. She was a close assistant with Swami Ramdas, and after Ramdas' departure, she ran the ashram for many years. She left her body in 1984 or something like that, sometime during that time. So her attitude was, so much money used to come to the ashram, but she will spend more than what comes in. Always it was in the debt. The ashram was in the debt. So the other sannyasis used to say that if you send Krishna Bhai as the secretary to Kubera, Kubera is the demigod who is responsible for the treasure of all the wealth, demigods. If you send her as his secretary, then she will make him pauper. That's how good she was in spending. She used to hand over everything. What came to the ashram, people brought. Whoever comes and asks, she will hand it over to them. So one person once came up to her and told her that I have no livelihood. He was so poor, said to her. So there was a cow there in the ashram. Somebody has donated. She told him, you take the cow and make a living from the cow, he said. He took the cow away. Then after a few days he comes back to her and says to her, you have given me the cow, that's very nice, but I have no money to feed the cow, says to him. So she says to, Krishnabai says to her, says to this person, that this ashram has an account with some grocers there. Go there and buy things what you want on the ashram's account. You can buy from them. So he started taking things from the shop to feed the cow on the ashram's account. Then after a while he comes back and says to her that I haven't got a proper place for the cow to stay. Goshala, in other words, he was referring to. So he brought, she gave some money to build the Goshala also for the cow to stay. And then he was milking the cow. You know, these cows, they are not giving a lot of milk. They give you a small quantity of milk, not a lot. And he was trying to sell the milk, but it wasn't getting sold. He comes back and says to her, the milk wasn't getting sold. She says to him that you bring the milk here, we'll give you the money for the milk. So Krishna says here that gave the cow, gave the food for the cow's fodder or whatever the cow was being fed, built the goshala for the cow, and finally brought the milk from the cow also. So Krishna is going to say about this, what is charity? Dhanam means. So where you have the least trace of ego while offering something to Krishna, that only then you can do things like this. Sometimes people will say, oh, I've given you so much, why you are asking? Again, they'll say like that, isn't it? So this understanding that I don't need anything, it's for Krishna's purpose, I have to give it. This feeling. To create that is not easy. Because always there is something to hold back, our own, isn't it? So this Krishnabai used to address the people and say to them all the time, you householders, she used to tell them, be very careful. She told the householders particularly, because don't create a debt. That's not a good thing. You have to learn how to live without creating debt. But at the same time, Sachidananda Swamiji, who was there in the ashram, he asked her, Krishnabai, you are always telling the householders not to create debt. But the way you are managing, we are always in debt. The ashram is always in the debt, he said. So what is this? I cannot understand that, he said to her. She says to him that why it is so different in the case of ashram, different than the householders. He said, she said that if I have cash here in the ashram, I can't sleep, she said. I don't get sleep if there is too much money piles up in the ashram. And only when you have this debt, and then you can sleep comfortably in the ashram. You can sleep comfortably in the ashram. Because as spiritually inclined personalities, to hold wealth is considered to be wrong. It's only allowed for the householders, that too with a lot of restrictions. And we will see this when Krishna talks about in the Bhikshu's life, Bhikshugita. You will see Krishna explains this in detail. It's about a month things to talk about in that Bhikshugita. Krishna explains to us the subtleties of the wealth, how wealth can is always destructive. 15, Krishna lists there, 15 problems that comes from the wealth. How it can turn around the whole life into disaster. But therefore, those who have understood that, particularly in the ashram, they have to be careful. And you will see, from Vairagyam point of view, Bhartrahari mentions the same thing. When Bhartrahari says this, he says, Vairagyam eva abhayam. Vairagyam eva abhayam. So, Krishna Bhai's point was that ashramam should always be bankrupt. There shouldn't be money piling up in the ashram. If it does, it's something wrong. And householder can have wealth, but householder should know how to deal with the wealth. Otherwise, there will be problem thereof. Money is a problem, always a problem, wherever it is. And sannyasis and brahmacharis are not allowed to have any wealth. The only person who is allowed to have some wealth is householder. But even that householder, if he gets captivated by the wealth and falls victimized by that, he will be in serious trouble. All these things are there in the Bhagavad. So, Mani Dainya Bhayam, Vairagya Shalakam says, Mani Bhoge Roga Bhayam,
കുലേച്ഛുതിഭയം വിത്തന്ത്രവാലാഭയം മാനേ ധൈന്യഭയം ബലേരിപുഭയം രൂപേജരായാഭയം ശാസ്ത്രേവാദിഭയം ഗുണേഖലഭയം കായേ കൃതാന്താൽഭയം സർവം വസ്തുഭയാൻവിതം ഭുവി നൃണാം വൈരാഗ്യമേവ അഭയം. How fear comes from every side. In life is full of fear, anxiety. Bhoge rogabayam. When we try to enjoy something, always the fear is my, am I going to survive through this? Rogabayam, disease can come. Is it not? Kule chudibayam. There is the always this fear that will anything happen, bad name I'll get from my activities if I create any bad name myself. Vittalnrabalad bhayam. If there is an excess of wealth, there is always that fear that it will be taken away by somebody in some form. It can happen, isn't it? Either directly stolen or in the form of government. Or something else can happen in life and money can go. Mane dhainya bhayam, reputation one is concerned about. Bale ripu bhayam, physically if you are strong, when you see somebody stronger than you, you feel that you are not keeping that great health as you think. Rube jaraya bhayam, about the body is concerned, it is changing all the time. Before you know, You've gone old, isn't it? Rube jaraya bhayam. Jara takes over everything. Shastrevadi bhayam. One who is studied shastram very well is always frightened about someone else who has studied more. Gune khala bhayam. All the virtues what we have, someone else has higher virtues than what you have. And kaye kridandal bhayam, body is concerned, when that will go, you don't know. Any moment it can go. And then Bhartahari says, sarvam vastu bhayanvitam, everything in this world will only create fear inside us. In some form or the other, in a subtle level, it's generating fear all the time. Bhuvinranam, therefore, vairagyam eva abhayam. Vairagyam alone is the abhayam, says Bhartahari. So, you can see that mane dhainyavayam, tomorrow if anything happens that you have to become beg, you have to become a beggar or have to get somebody else's help, in that time, so that fear is always there, I don't want to be dependent on someone. Balerippubayam, people who have good qualities, they have always fearful about the enemies. Shastrevadivayam, if he is educated in Shastram, he is always frightened about the others. And one who has not, he is not educated, he is not fearful about anybody, isn't it? He can say anything he likes, nobody is going to say anything to him. That is why people who are very educated, it is easy to cheat them. It's easy to cheat them. There's a story about in the Panchatantram stories you will find Tenali Rama talks about, he was a big scholar came to argue with him. So Tenali was clever. He was not studied very much. He knew these pandits how they are, scholars so called. When he came to debate with him, Tenali said to him, "He, in Shastram, they have these ways of building words, joining words together and creating a big word." So he told him, "Telakashta Mahisha Bandhanam," he said, when the scholar came in. He said, "I'm going to discuss that with you," he said. So the scholar who came, he could not understand this. He has not heard this before. So Tenali again says to him, Tilakashta Mahisha Bandhanam, he says. So he said to him, Tenali says to him, do you know that? He said, the scholar said, no, I have not heard that. He says, the people who are tending the cows here, even they know that, he said. He was trying to tell him like that. So, next day, the scholar didn't turn up. He went away. So, Krishnadevaraya, at the time, Vijayanagaram Empire was very famous. It is from him, Vidyaranya Swamiji and others came, Krishnadevaraya's empire. So, Krishnadevaraya asked Tenali that, that I have never heard about this book, because Tenali was taken as a scholar in that assembly of this king, Krishnadevaraya. Krishnadevaraya asked him that, Tenali, I have never heard about this book, this Tilakashtha Maheshabandhanam. He said, it's not a big book, he said. It's a very simple thing, he said. Tilaka means this, what do they call it? Sesame seed. Sesame seed. The tree of that sesame seed. He said, if you bring a cow with a rope and tie the cow to this tree. So Tilakam is that sesame seed. Mahisham is the cow. And Bandhanam is tying it with the rope to the tree. And that tying thing, that is all it is. Tilakashta. Tilakashta Mahisha Bandhanam means that. There's no special book or anything about it. It's just a word he has made up at that time. And that book is not necessary, but he should have understood what that word means. He didn't think about it, that scholar. He just heard the word and he got confused and walked away from there, he said. So, pandits are easily scared when they hear some complex words. Complex words. So, once it so happened that there was one assembly where Upanishads, Brahma Sutram, Vedantam and all these things were discussed when the kings used to conduct such assemblies. So in one instance, there was a Shastra Sabha, Shastra Sadasa they call it, was happening at that time. And that in order to participate in that, you have to send your request first, that you so-and-so, disciple of so-and-so, living in such a place, wanted to participate in that. So many people will apply, send their applications. It was in the olden times. So one disciple of a well-learned scholar, he sent his application. Many others also sent it, but somehow his was accepted. He was accepted. He was selected for the participation. And this particular disciple didn't have much knowledge of the Shastra. Much knowledge of the Shastra. And there were many others who were more learned, but they were not selected. They were not selected. So this person decided to go because he was invited for the assembly. So he went there, but before he went to his teacher and asked him like this, what shall I say there when I go? Because I'm going to be grilled by, there'll be so many other. They have some system of selecting people. They have selected him for that particular time, that's all. So the spiritual master, there'll be many, many scholars there and they're going to ask lots of questions. Spiritual master told him, don't think that all these scholars are highly learned, he said. They're not that scholar. But, and it is also easy to cheat them, he said. You go there and whatever you know, you speak with full confidence what you know, he said. And the topic of discussion was about Upanishads. About Upanishads. So this person said that I have not studied all the Upanishads. So it's 108 Upanishads altogether. And some of them are very big and some of them are small, he said. So the spiritual master told him, I'll give you a clue what you should do, he said. When you go there, you say whatever Upanishad's mantra you know, you say this and you say it's from Brihadaranya Upanishad. It's from Brihadaranya. Why you have said like that? Because they will not be able to go and look through Brihadaranya. Brihadaranya is a very massive Upanishad it is. And not only that, one reason is, in Brihadaranyam almost all the other Upanishads mantram comes. Majority of other Upanishads mantram, especially the other 10 Upanishads, and from some other Upanishads also, many mantrams comes to Brihadaranyam. So, most of the Upanishads mantrams are in the Brihadaranyam, so you cannot go wrong. he said. It can, it's possible that it will be there. And other person will find it very difficult to make their decisions. So go ahead and speak very with full confidence, he said. Shastre vadi bhayam, that fear that somebody else will create problems for him. So that is the way he instructed him to do that. So gune khalabhayam kale kridandha bhayam, that when we praise someone, one thing has to be very careful, that when you get praised by somebody, you don't know when the next moment that person will turn against you. Because you can see this today, nowadays, particularly the media, the TV, that's their livelihood. Media, TV, that's their livelihood. They will boost someone, glorifying him to such an extent and make him big. And when the balloon has gone big, they'll take the needle and start poking it. In a similarly, then they will start saying that he has done this, he has done that, wrong things. And if they didn't get any other news, they'll get hold of someone like that and they will start assassinating him in that way. Therefore, you have to be fearful. So, if some good qualities are noticed by the news media, that then those who are enjoying his good qualities, they will notice that if you get any bad qualities, if they sense, they will destroy you after that. If you start feeling happy that everyone is speaking good things about you, you never know that when they will turn against you. Because this is the way it works, this world. Gune khalabhayam, kale kdandabhayam. And similarly, as long as you have this material body, you are always fearful about the death. Everyone. Krishna says that in the, we also know that, isn't it? So that is the reason sometimes you can see people when they get older, they would like to live somewhere near a good hospital. People want to live near a good hospital because you don't know. That's how so many hospitals have come up, because of this reason. Super speciality hospitals and all kinds of things. So This is the way, like we talk about going to Vrindavanam, holy dham, and leaving the body there. They say they feel safe near a good hospital if anything happens, isn't it? So, all this is the fear that exists in everyone, isn't it? So, the fear is nothing but, it's a manifestation of our ignorance, which is very deep-rooted inside, and a powerful form of that manifests through us, that is called the fear. That is called fear. And Krishna says here that how everybody takes advantage of our fear. The people take advantage of that, isn't it? All the insurance business is based on this, is it not? Every insurance, life insurance, starting with. They will frighten you like this. If you die and go, who will look after your family? As though you have taken the guarantee to look after your family for 10 generations from now on, when you came here. When you came here, you didn't know about your family, did you? This family business and all started after coming here. But using that, the insurance company is telling you that if you don't have life insurance, only £5 a week. Start like this. As though you have signed a contract to look after 10 generations from now on. That's the way they create that fear inside us. Isn't it? And the same thing with all these big drug manufacturers. And also all these hospitals and NHS and everyone does that. The amount of information they pour on to you as far as to look after this body, not knowing the subtleties, anything about the body. Everything for them is so gross based on that. And not only it finished with NHS or with the medical institutions or the hospitals or the insurance companies. Why to talk about them? Even the temples, spiritual institutions, they also frighten you. They also frighten you, isn't it? And why? Because if you are not fearful, the institution won't run. It's running on based on your fear. Otherwise, how can the institution run? They will say you that if you go to the temple, they'll say, we are making all these offerings. Here, you pay for this. You'll do this. And you don't know what danger you have got waiting at the doorstep. If you don't perform all these things, you'll be in trouble. They frighten you like this. Isn't it? So everything is based on this fear. We think it is simple. It's not that simple. It is complex. It is. All temples do, all spiritual institutions do, church or everyone has this tendency to exploit our fear. Krishna is saying to us, Abhaya Sattva Samshuddhir, that Abhayam is the proper understanding of spiritual life. If you are in spiritual life, fearlessness is necessary. And that does not come from the physical strength. It comes from the spiritual realization. Abhayam. Krishna says either. Because if there is no fear, all these institutions cannot run. Suppose you're not fearful, these institutions cannot thrive. How will they survive? You won't go there, you won't pay money. But they know that very well, and that is why they know how to plan things out very well. They will do the calculations for you and tell you how you should run your life, and they will give you the false guarantee that they are taking care of everything. You don't have to worry about anything. So, Appar Swamiji, who was one of the Nayanars, Appar Sambandar Sundararu Manika Vachakar, Appar used to say that his enemies, they tied him a huge stone on its body and threw him into the sea to kill him like that. So he said, not frightened about anything, because he had that faith in Shiva, whom he worshipped very seriously. So he says, I'm not even frightened about Yama, he says. So Jnani, for a person who has realized the truth, he is not frightened about death, because for him, death is for the body, isn't it? Like in the case of Parikshit, you have seen what happens at the end. There is no fear, that level. So Krishna is talking about here, this fear. You have to notice this interesting thing. When Krishna is talking about Abhayam, that word in this chapter, Abhaya Sattva Samshuddhi, Abhayam has to be seen in different levels. One who has very high realization of the self, knowledge of the self, he is not frightened. He is not frightened. And that is one level. It is not only in that level Krishna is talking about here. He says, basic, through vairagyam, a fearlessness comes. Through vairagyam, fearlessness comes. That's another way fearlessness comes to a person. Fearlessness can happen in different ways. Through jnanam it can happen. Through vairagyam also it can happen. How does that happen? That vairagyam is like this, not concerned about the future. Whatever happens, not concerned about that. So particularly when you are executing adhyalpa sadhana, spiritual life, and that state, there are so many things. One has to be fearless about things. And in particularly in spiritual life, those who are executing sadhana, they have some difficulty. So that difficulty is that due to prarabdham, sometimes life becomes unbearable. Like you can see, some people have their misfortune that they have to work very hard in life, starting 7-8 in the morning to 10-11 in the night. It's a part of this modern life, isn't it? When the way people are working, when you see that, you really wonder, is it necessary to be like this? No. They also know that. There's no need to be like this. How can you study Bhagavad Gita or Upanishads or Bhagavatam in the middle of this? It's impossible. When there is so much work has to be done, that 14, 15, 16 hours working every day, it is impossible to have that shanti to understand Bhagavad Gita or Upanishads or Bhagavatam. So, And when you talk about other things, even meditation and japam and everything, sometimes when you look at life, people's life, how it was turned out. So, particularly to absorb in the self-inquiry or to develop that nature, to spend time with the scriptures, to Shastram, no time for that. For them, sun rises in the morning, sun sets in the evening, that's all. So that is their main complaint, that there is no time for anything. What shall we do? They ask. In the same Vairagya Shatakam, Bhartrihari mentions this. Adityasya Gadagadai Aharaha Samshiyade Jeevitam. He mentions that daily with the Adityasya Gadagadai, when sun rises and sun sets in the evening, Samshiyade Jeevitam. Life is finished. A part of life is over, isn't it? Life shortens. Vyabhare Bahugarya Bhara Gurubhi Kalo Vina Kyayate. That due to the Vyavaharam in life, business, whatever transactions, what we have created in life, that takes away a huge part of our energy. Vyabhare Bahugarya Karya Gurubhi. Because you have got involved in hundreds of things. Bahugarya Karya Gurubhi, and they are things which requires a lot of time and attention. Kalo vina kyayate. The time is also running out, you are not conscious of that. Drishtva janma mara vipatti maranam prasascha nolpadyate. Then while going drishtva janma jara vipatti maranam, when your life is going through like this, birth, death, old age, disease, all these things, and sufferings, but pitva, all this is going on, pitva mohamayim prabhadamadira unmattabhudam jagat. Bhartahari is saying there that world has become mad, he says, by drinking this wine of delusion. That's how he calls it, the wine of delusion. It's a kind of illusion it is, isn't it? It's been thrown, but helplessly mostly people are stuck in that. So, Bhartahari's point is this, that the sun is rising and sun is setting, a day is gone, and just like the water is dripping out from a pot which has got a hole in there, similarly the lifespan is running out. And is he conscious of that? That person, the lifetime is running out? No, he is not. Because he's got so much work to do. What to do? That's the way the mind is. It's become like that. And he's got caught up in a situation like that. Sometimes you can see that they start at 7, 8 in the morning, right up to midnight, people working like that. They haven't got that freedom to do anything. And it is unfortunate or it's unfair to tell someone who is working so many hours every day to take interest in the Bhagavad Gita or in the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's very difficult, extremely difficult. So, if you talk to them, they are saying that, what shall we do? We don't have the time. And when you see their destiny, that they have to go through this, you feel inside that Krishna will show some mercy to them because of their situations like that. And sometimes people know the value of spiritual life. Some people know the value of spiritual life. They also know that life is meant for that purpose. Some people, they know the value of spiritual life. They also know that they have to give time for spiritual life. They know about that. But on the other hand, they are stuck up in a situation, somebody else is exploiting them heavily. So they don't have the time. But inside it's burning, those people. There are many people like that. And unable to break that, come out of that situation. They are unable to do anything about it, isn't it? So, just like what they say is Palpavyuha. Palpavyuha means the Mahabharata war. When Abhimanyu was killed, that day Karna and Duryodhana and others, they created Padmavyuham in such a way that you can't come out of it. In such a way they created the assembly of the army in such a way. So these people are in the same situation. They are caught up in this, their work in such a way that they are unable to come out from that. Only thing you can do is to tell them that, pray to Krishna to come to get you out of this situation. Because if to release them from that, only Krishna can do when they are caught up in that situation. And if they do that, in course of time, sometimes Krishna helps. If the prarabdham is not heavy, or sometimes seeing that person's inside Antaryami knows what that person is, situation is. Inside he is feeling the need to have spiritual life. But outside all the situation is a completely opposite. He is caught up in that state, isn't it? So that is the breaking point in his life. It is that fearlessness. At one point, some point in time in life, he makes a decision, this is it. I'm not going to go along with this anymore. Let it, whatever happens, let it happen. There are people who have done this. At some point in life, they'll make that decision that I cannot go on doing this. Life is running out. I haven't got the time to wait. And some inward inner realization comes to them that I'm going to stop this once for all and turns away from there. And that is abhayam. That is what Krishna is calling it as abhayam. That is the abhayam Krishna is talking about. So, it is not that externally you get released, but internally you have got released. Because what happens with all these kind of situations is that you are caught up in that. You don't know what to do. You can't either turn this side, that side, 24 hours serving the company or master or whomever you are working for. And totally absorbed in that and feeling completely dependent on that. That's not a very good situation. That's not very good at all. And that is when this necessary, that spiritually you got to feel that strength from inside to break up and come out from that. So, at one particular stage, they make that decision that he was feeling that this company I am working for and the money they are paying me is very good, and I was feeling a false security in that with the wealth, that the money they were offering and the reputation of the company, feeling a lot of security there. Instead, taking Krishna shelter, you have put all the shelter in your money and income and salary and all other things. But spiritually, when you feel strong, when you get that pressure from inside, one day you will feel that let all this go, doesn't matter, and in a position to break up the whole thing and come out at that courage inside. Sometimes, rarely, it happens to some people. It has happened. If you look into history of so many great personalities, you will find how they came out from this entanglement in life. That fearlessness, Krishna says, comes through vairagyam. When strong vairagyam, renunciation develops inside, one day they make up their mind and said, this is it. I'm not going to go with this anymore. And that is born of intelligence. That's born of intelligence. In other words, that person feels that for my own benefit, I have to do this. That urgency you have to feel inside. Only then you can do that. And that decision that he has made, that I've got this human body, a mind, everything, and I cannot keep wasting my whole life doing this thing called work and handing over all my time for the world, and I can't create this distress in me in this way. But that comes from intelligence, that decision to make. He made that decisions. That that decision till this paramarthi means on the absolute platform, this tattva nischayam means this decision making. He has made that decision that this is the goal of my life. In some people's case, this has happened. Once you make that decision, that courage that is necessary for that will come from inside. And it is a particular beating point in life. They know that I can come out from that. And for some people, it doesn't happen. For few people, it happens. For many people, it doesn't happen. That is how you can see that these big institute companies and others, they are able to exploit others to such extent in this world, is it not? You can see how people work for so many hours, and these industrialists and big business institutions, they know very well how to exploit the situations. All over you'll see in the big cities, particularly in IT industry, in so many industries, it is like that. They will make you always fearful, and they'll make you feel that if you don't work so many hours in a day, you're going to be in trouble. And the fear they create in that way. To fight against that fear is very, very difficult when you are in that situation, in the middle of that. So many young men and young women working today in the IT industry, 18, 20, 22 hours sometimes. They have no time. Why is it like that? The fear has been created in them. And along with that, they make you feel that you need all these things, and for that you have to work in that way. Recently there was a survey of the school children all over the world comparing that. And they were saying that the school children in so many places, they can't sleep. 8 years, 10 years old children, they are coming home at 11 o'clock after the whole day. And so much pressure has been put on them. And they are comparing with one place to another. But all this comparison is useless, because neither of them have the solution to the problem. Problem is coming from lack of knowledge, is it not? They have been carried away by the pressure that's been created by the society. So fear, if you inject such fear into the children at that age, what's going to happen when they grow up? What strength will they have? So this is what Krishna is saying here. This abhayam quality, fearlessness, is an essential ingredient in spiritual life. Absolutely necessary. But not through physical strength, but through spiritual understanding of the realization of the self. For some people it doesn't happen. Why? Because most of them doesn't have the goal in life. That is why it's happening, isn't it? They are thinking that if I don't have the job, what will I do? So they find it difficult after retirement to do anything. And then this fear inside, what am I going to do now? This fear keep coming back and coming back and coming back to us again. And they feel, so those people who have cultivated this fear inside, they should understand, read Bhagavad Gita again and again, and see what Krishna has got to say to us. Krishna is saying to us, you are not here just to earn money to maintain the body. That is the lowest occupation for us. We are here to realize the truth, what we have come for. And in that process, Krishna's point is that spiritual life is only possible as long as you have sufficient. What do we need from this world? We need some food to eat. We need a place to sleep. That's our need, isn't it? More than that, what else is there in this world to collect? So, in situations when turns up in this way, one who makes that decision, Krishna is saying, abhayam will be there for him and a breakthrough from his life. And that is, that abhayam is Krishna is talking about in this verse. And it is a very powerful force that comes from inside. And only if you have that abhayam in sadhana, you can go further. You can go progress further. And you will see this in great, great devotees and great jnanis. You will see this abhayam nature in them. You can see what you have seen in Prahlada is this abhayam, isn't it? Fearlessness. In Prahlada you saw that, didn't you? In the seventh canto you will see in the Bhagavatam. Prahlada was always fearless, is it not? And Hiranyakashipu was threatening him. And Prahlada is telling him, Hiranyakashipu had big projects like we all have. Hiranyakashipu had big projects. Prahlada is saying to him that what are you worried about so much? That when you are not dependent on Krishna, you have to be worried about things. But that's what happens to all of us. So abhayam comes from Krishna's dependence on Krishna. That is what he is saying here. That you will see this in many devotees' case. Mirabai's life, if you read, you will see what happened to Mirabai. Meera's husband died, and husband's brother decided to poison her because they said that she created a bad reputation for the family. They were belonged to the Rajput Rana families. And in Mirabai, in her bhajans, she sings these things to Krishna. She says to Krishna, this is what I'm getting from this world. So look at Mirabai's strength inside. And she was willing to fight against the whole world. She says to Krishna, this is what I'm getting from this world. The brother, husband's brother, husband died, and the husband's brother tried to poison her. On the pretext that because of her attachment to Krishna, she was creating a bad name for the family, not following the family tradition, this, that and the other. But she, as far as she was concerned, there was no feeling of insecurity any time. So this insecurity feeling is there in everyone. But a devotee has to learn to how to break through that. So you can see, even big personalities, they were fearful. Hitler was very fearful, you know that. If you read about Hitler, the Dritte Reich book, the Third Reich, if you read, you will see how fearful he was. He was so powerful, but he was so fearful as well, isn't it? Hitler couldn't even sleep at night because he was always saying that it is possible that our enemies may have influenced his bodyguard to shoot him in the night. So he had to keep someone else to watch him. Like this, where do you end this life? This is materialistic consciousness. Fearful all the time, isn't it? So imagine that situation, always fearful. Big people, Hitler was so powerful, but so fearful as well at the same time. So this abhayam, fearlessness, will come only from the understanding that there is no second thing existing. Through spirituality only you can come out of it. Through proper understanding of the tattva. There is no second thing in this world. Be dharmama dvidiyal kalpitanja dvidiyam tenek abhyasa shilo hridayam ihayatha shakti buddhva nirundhyam maya vidhedu taspin pulirabhinadadham bhadi mayadinatham tattvam bhaktya mahatyam sadadam anubhajan nisha bhidhim vijahyam. Ekadasha skandam, there is the Navayogi story, there talks about this. Kavi Maharshi's words, this is. That Bhidi means fearfulness. Bhidirnama dudiyal bhavadi nanyamanam. How does I have fearfulness? Because there is a second thing existing. Actually, there is no second thing. As far as Atma is concerned, there is only one Atma. Soul is one, consciousness is one. When I identify with my body, I am fearful. Is it not? Only through my identification with the body, I become fearful. Otherwise, there is no need to be fearful about anything. Bhidirnama dvidiyal bhavadi nanumanam kalpitanja dvidiyam. Because you have kalpitam, it is kalpitam, means a kalpana it is. That means in your own mind, you have imagined that another body exists, another person, somebody is separate from me. Anything outside you, if you take it, there is always fear. Outside you, you will always be fear. That is why Kavi Maharshi started that. Manye kudaschil bhayam achudasya padambujo vasana matra nityam. That kudaschil bhayam achudasya. That bhayam, fear, comes from dhriyam. From the second thing that it is existing. If you look into the Bhagavadam, first verse itself, Kavi Maharshi's words, if you look, you will see there what he has got to say. Kavi is saying there, that the in the 11.2 it is. Manye kudaschil bhayam achyudasya padam bhujopasanam atra nityam. One verse is enough. Kavi Maharshi clarified the whole thing. How did he say? Udvigna buddhe asadalma bhavat vishwalpana yatra nivartade bhi. That is that verse. He is saying there, Manye kudaschil bhayam achyudasya padambujobasanam atra nityam. If you take to Krishna consciousness, achyuda padambujobasanam, taking to Krishna consciousness means taking what Krishna is telling us seriously. That's what taking to Krishna consciousness means. Not how many aratis you have done or how many rounds you have chanted. What Krishna is telling us, accepting that. Krishna is saying to us, Manye kudaschil bhayam achyudasya padambujo vasana matra nityam. That totally taking Krishna shelter and accepting what Krishna has spoken about us, isn't it? Krishna has spoken about us in the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam, what we are. Following udvigna buddhe asadalma bhavan, because we are holding on to asat. We are holding on to asat. That's what Krishna is saying to us, isn't it? Material body is asat. Mind is asat. All the world is asat. Everything is asat. Udvigna buddhe asadalma bhava. Alma bhavam in the asat. Atma buddhi in the asat. Thinking that I am that. That's me. You see, you must have noticed this. This word Atma is used for self, for the body, for the mind, for the intelligence. All Atma. Why is it? What is the reason? Reason is this. Ahankaram in us, the false ego, when it identifies with anything, it will take that. For example, ahankaram can identify with the mind, it can identify with the intelligence, it can identify with the body, it can identify with the self also. Because it shifts its position from one to another all the time, when this word used Atma, which is refers to the soul, in real terms it refers to the individual self, isn't it? The self is the Atma. But Atma, that self is shifting its position all the time. It doesn't stay as the Ahankaram always. It always takes that Ahankaram, for example, when it identifies with the Buddhi, intelligence, it comes in the form of what? It comes in the form of Vicharam, thought waves, isn't it? When it identifies with the mind, it takes in the form of Sangalpa Vigalpam, imagination, Sangalpam Vigalpam, Vigalpam. In that way it comes. When it identifies with the body, it takes a bodily identity. It's the same false ego. False ego can take the identification with intelligence, it can identify with the mind, it can identify with the body, and it can sometimes identify with the self. And that is the reason that this word Atma is used in all different connotations, in different positions, in the same addressing body as Atma, and mind is Atma, intelligence is Atma, Ahankaram is also Atma. Sometimes it is used in that way. So, Udvigna Buddhe Asadalma Bhava, that Atma Bhavam, because it's a Bhavam it is. It's a Bhavam. Bhavam means that it is a mood what you are in. Whichever mood you are, accordingly you will take the identity. Suppose you are on an egoistic mood, you will identify with Ahankaram as the self. Suppose you are in a realized state, you will identify with the self as the Atma. Suppose you are on an intellectual level state, then you will identify intelligence as Atma. Suppose you are on a thought wave state, then Vicharam or emotion state, you will identify with the mind, Atma. So Atma can vary from under. That's what he's saying here. Kavi is saying here, Udvigna Buddhe Asadalma Bhavat. And they are all asat. Intelligence is asat, mind is asat, ahankaram is asat, body is asat. Is it not? And there you are putting your Atma Bhavam, your identification there. And Vishwalpana Yatra Nivartade Bhi, he says. Unless you identify with the Supreme Consciousness, Krishna, Atma, Vishwalpana, when your realization comes there, Yatra Nivartade Bhi, you get released from that. Otherwise not. So that is what it is mentions here. Bedirnama dvidiyal bhavati nanumanam kalpitanja dvidiyam. And this will only go tenek abhyasa shilo. Abhyasa shilo, by practicing it. Hridayam ihayato shakti buddhva nirundhyam. Shakti buddhva nirundhyam. According to our capacity, you can block it. Maya vidhedu tasmin. Maya will not allow that easily. पुनरविनदतां भाति मायादिनाथं तत्त्वं भक्त्या महत्यम्. At that time, the only option we have is to take Krishna shelter, who is controller of Maya. Tatvam bhaktya mahatyam sadadam anubhajam isha bhidim vijahyam. Only by Krishna shelter alone, you have to come out of this fearful state. There is an answer to that problem, the solution to that problem. That is what Krishna is saying here. That again and again, we have to come to this realization that outside Krishna nothing else is existing in this creation. There is no second vastu here. Only Krishna exists here. But these things, on an intellectual level, you can accept it. Intellectual level. But when it comes to vyavaharam, it goes. It doesn't stay, isn't it? At that time, the fear comes. At that time, the fear comes back again. Intellectually, what Krishna has spoken, everything is acceptable to us. We can see Krishna's logic behind it, isn't it? But when it comes to vyavaharam, everything goes away. That is what Krishna is saying here, bhaktya bhajan. That maya vidhedu tasmin punaravi na tathabhadi mayadi natham tattvam bhaktya mahatyam. Only through bhakti, only through surrender to Krishna, sharanagati, and always to take notice that Krishna is with us. Whatever it may happen, Krishna is with us. And Krishna is that shelter. And Krishna is the abhayam, that shelter. And in that way, sadadam anubhajan nisha bhidim vijahyam. In that way, you have to remove that fear from inside. By surrender and bhakti, you have to remove the fear from inside. There is no other way. There is no other way. So, many great devotees have prayed like this to Krishna to give that strength, fearlessness in them. You will see this in many big people. They have this fearlessness, isn't it? So, many stories you can see. In Ramanashram, there was one sub-register who used to come to see Maharshi there. And he used to come and he used to sit there and watch Maharshi for hours and hours together. And it so happened that when people were coming, that Ramana Maharshi had cancer at that time. And there was a lot of visitors coming to see him, and they had a queue standing there. So this devotee who was working, and he was a registrar or something like that, and he was feeling very heartbreaking for him to see Maharshi suffering like this with the cancer, isn't it? So when he saw that, it also reminded him that this can be for him tomorrow. That's what first thing happens, isn't it? When you see someone suffering like that. So he was dependent on Maharshi's strength, spiritual strength. He was dependent on that. And when he saw this, he started thinking, even your body has gone like this, he is saying this to Maharshi at that time, isn't it? So, a person like you, who had all these realizations, knowledge and everything, you are suffering like this, he said to him. Maharshi said, you are going through all these things, he said. So, I don't have any knowledge, I don't have any realizations. Nothing, I haven't got anything. And all I have done is, I have taken your form, which is manifested like this, and I have taken the shelter of that. But if you go, if your form disappears from here, what will happen? He started, fear developed in him in that way. That is why tattva-jnanam is necessary. If you don't have tattva-jnanam, this is what will happen. It happened to Arjuna, what to talk about anybody else, is it not? If you remember Bhagavatam, you will see there in the first canto, that any external form, if you take shelter, when the form disappears, you will be in trouble. Tattal sangrama murdhani, he says. Edam bhagavata jnanam tattal sangrama murdhani. That Arjuna, at one point, when Krishna left, you should have seen Arjuna's lamentation. Such a great personality, Arjuna. When Krishna left this world, Arjuna is saying, I can't live anymore in this world, he said. So complete all energy gone from the body, totally drained out. Is it not? You will see this in the first canto. If you read carefully, you will observe this. Arjuna is saying that Krishna has gone, now what shall I do? Why this situation has come to Arjuna? Where was all the courage, what he had before? So you can understand there that this will happen to anyone. Why? Mainly, Arjuna made this big mistake, dependent on the form. Too much on the form. Instead of taking the knowledge what Krishna has given and taking shelter of the knowledge what Krishna has given to Arjuna, he started taking the shelter of the form. And when the form disappeared, Arjuna was in serious trouble. Then, of course, due to he sat down and reflected on the Bhagavad Gita verses again and again, and then he got the strength back. He was able to continue with his life. Otherwise, it was very difficult for Arjuna. At one point, Arjuna is saying that all that power I had, the demigods were even impressed by Arjuna's strength and courage in the battlefield, is it not? And when Parikshit Maharaj is born, they say Parikshit will be like the two Arjunas, he says. One, this Arjuna, and the other one, Kartavirya Arjuna. Together comparing there. So Arjuna was given that status. Where did that all come from? Arjuna's special capacity to fight in the battlefield as an ideal Kshatriya. And that strength, what Arjuna's strength in fighting against Drona, Bhishma, Karna and many others, Arjuna says, it is gone, all that's gone. He couldn't even fight with the cowherd boys at the end. So he says there that this is the situation. Where was that coming from? But Arjuna recognized that it is Krishna. Krishna is behind that. But to recognize that, to surrender to that understanding, it took a while for Arjuna. That is why even when the Brahmana's children, 10 children were taken away, Arjuna gave the guarantee that I will be there for the 10th one. He said, who was there? Nobody was there. Nobody could do anything about it. At that time also, Krishna protected Arjuna, isn't it? Krishna made sure that Arjuna's words come true. And he brought not only one child, all the 10 children were brought back and handed over to the Brahmana. And that way saved Arjuna's reputation. Otherwise, Arjuna's reputation would have gone with that. So you can see from all these things that there is one verse in the Bhagavatam. What did Krishna, Arjuna said about Krishna at that time? He's saying there to, if you look in that verse, it's a special word Arjuna has used there. Mene Krishnanukampitam, he says there. You look into that verse, 89th or 89th chapter. He says, Mene Krishnanukampitam. Yes. When after they have brought all the children back, all the children were handed over. There is one Arjuna Vacha there, a few verses. Arjuna is saying who he is and what would have happened if Krishna has, he was supposed to jump into the fire after, if he couldn't bring that child back, isn't it? So there he says, Arjuna says to him that about that situation, he says there that Mene Krishnanukampitam, that's the one verse. That Arjuna Vacha that verse in the 89th chapter. 10, 89, 63. Nishamya Vaishnavam Dhamam Partha Paramavismidaha. When Arjuna saw the spiritual world, Arjuna was in a shock. All the children were there. He says, Yel Kinjil Paurusham Pomsam. What value has God for my ability? He says, Yel Kinjil Paurusham Pomsam. Mene Krishnanu Gambidam. If Krishna wasn't there, even my so-called Paurusham, people were glorifying Arjuna like anything, saying that he is the greatest warrior, he is the greatest Pandava and all that. But Yalkinjil Paurusham Pumsam Mene Krishnanugambidam. If Krishna hasn't interfered and saved Arjuna, what would have happened? So devotees' courage, fearlessness comes from Krishna. it is because of Krishna's support that courage is coming. It's not from the one's own ahankaram. It doesn't come from the false ego. It comes from Krishna's protection. That is the abhayam Krishna is talking about here. That fearlessness that comes from surrendering to Krishna. That Krishna will protect, Krishna will take care of everything. That understanding. So, so, so this fearlessness is not an easy thing. It's not an easy thing, isn't it? Fearlessness, when Krishna says abhayam, abhayam comes from sharanagari, surrender to Krishna. Remember, Ramachandra said this to Vibhishana, isn't it? What did Ramachandra say to him? Abhayam sarvabhudebhyo dadami etad vratam mama, he says. Abhayam sarvabhudebhyo. If somebody, Ramachandra says this, if someone surrenders to me, Ramachandra says, my philosophy, he says, abhayam sarvabhudebhyo dadami etad vratam mama, I will give him shelter. Krishna is saying this, Ramachandra is saying this. So, surrendering is our business and Krishna says, protection is my business. That fearlessness. So, Valmiki Ramayanam, you will see there, when Vibhishana was given abhayam, shelter was given to him, isn't it? And when Vibhishana surrendered to Ramachandra, the fear has gone. The fear has gone. That is what is indication. That if you hand over the responsibility to Krishna, then the fear will go. So many problems will come, but if you hand over that responsibility to Krishna, but because we don't hand over, therefore we have the fearful situation all the time. So that is the first thing. So for abhayam comes from bhakti, in other words. Bhakti is the solution for abhayam. So holding on to Krishna's lotus feet and to remember that we are not running the train. Krishna is driving the train. And if we drive the train, it will go and topple somewhere. It will go out. So that Shraddha, that is necessary. Suppose we are driving, we have to be extremely cautious, isn't it, in life, where it's going to end. But if Krishna is driving, you can take it that it will reach the destinations. So, if you have a good driver, then you can sleep even. Nothing to worry, he will drive, get you to the destination. But if you don't know the driver and he doesn't know how to drive, then you have to be conscious all the time, isn't it? So that is what it is talked about. All great souls have spoken about this. Some people say that I am the machine, Krishna is the operator. Krishna is the operator. That means yandram, yandri. That relationship with Krishna. So only when we take the responsibility on our shoulders, then the problem starts. Full responsibility we have to hand over to Krishna. So that is called abhayam. That's the first quality Krishna is saying about here, this abhayam. Where is the bhayam coming? Fear comes from where? Fear comes from the false ego, ahankaram. Ahankaram is the one who is frightened. Who is frightened, or abhimanam, whatever we call it. So this bhayam bhayam, what we call it, is nothing but the movement of this false ego. Movement of the false ego. And somewhere inside us, there is a negative center. Negative center. The movement of that negative center is called this fear. This you can also notice yourself when fear comes to you. When you are established in yourself, there is absolutely peace inside, shanti, is it not? You can notice this thing. These are not difficult things. So just like sometimes in while reading Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, when you are able to accept what Krishna has spoken and you feel your identification with the self strongly within yourself, you are feeling a fearlessness inside, shanti inside. Isn't it? But when does the fear come? Fear comes when you are completely lodged in the body. When you are feeling completely in identification with the body, then you feel the fear. This is everybody's experience, isn't it? Suppose you get sick. and you are totally identifying with the body, that time your fear also is very high about the situation with the body, is it not? Instead, when you are reading Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and whatever words Krishna has spoken there, it makes you aware that you have nothing to do with the body, your identification with the self is very strong. You may be for a few seconds or a split second. Even then, at that time you experience a shanti inside. Why is that? It's because of this. That's what Krishna is saying here, that when your identification with the body is strong, so again, why we should not identify with the body? Discussing about the body, bodily problems, all this is only will multiply this fear inside. That is why as much as possible not to discuss about the body, not to discuss about the bodily problems. And the more we discuss, and the more we read about it, more we hear about it, it simply pulls us back into the platform of fear. That's where the fear is coming from, isn't it? So, if you carefully give attention to the movement of that fear inside, how the fear is coming and going inside at different times, you can see there that you should be able to stand outside that fear and watch how the fear comes in and leaves us. Like we see the mic, you have to see the fear inside, isn't it? So, it is, this fear is nothing but is the movement of that false ego, ahankaram inside. And another place Krishna calls it as chijjada granthi. It is called the chijjada granthi or ahankaram inside. And that is the movement is called fear. What will happen? Will something happen to my body? Sometimes your body gets something, some kind of disturbance in the body, something went wrong in the body. You can, if you observe at that time, you can see how your mind is going, how it starts analyzing and evaluating the body. What's going to happen next? Is this it? Has it happened now? Some fear comes inside at that time, isn't it? So, So this is Krishna saying here, if anything happens to the body, what will I do? This thought comes, is it not? Everybody gets it at some point or the other. That if something happens to the body, what shall I do? And when you see suddenly someone suffering through the body, and you start feeling that same fear develops in the body, what will happen? Is it not? What to talk about the body, even in the bus stop you will see sometimes people getting experiencing fear, isn't it? A lot of people are standing in the queue and the bus comes. People think that, oh, if the bus goes away without taking me on the board, there's too many people in the bus, there's a fear even there. It develops inside, isn't it? So many reasons Krishna is saying here that this will only go, this abhayam will only come when surrender is there, when surrender to Krishna. That means the body, the mind, and everything, one has to surrender to Krishna and remove the fear from inside. Remove the fear from inside. If you remember, when we discussed Ekadasha Skandam in the beginning, in the second chapter itself, when our Kavi Maharshi started discussing about fear, he first said that Udigna Bukde Asadatma Bhava Vishwatmana Yatra Nivartadebhi. He said that the anxiety will never go, Udvegam, Udvigna Buddhi. This will never go so long as you have Asadatma Bhava. Asat, you are identifying with the Asat. Vishwalpana yatra nivartadebhi. But you will come out of that fear when you identify with the Supreme Consciousness. Vishwalpana yatra nivartadebhi. After that, in the 38th verse, he is saying, avidyamano avabhadihi dvayo dhyadurdhiya sopnamano redhau yathaha tat karma sangalpa vigalpagam mano Budho nirundhyat abhayam tatasyal. You see, abhayam tatasyal, he says. Where will you get the strength of fearlessness? avidyamanobhi avabhadihi dvayo. Because of my avidya inside, ajnanam inside, I have taken everything as two. Dvandvam. Dvayam. Avidyamanobhi avabhadihi dvayo. Dvayam means I am here, he is there. I am here, you are there. I am seeing everything as two. As long as this dvandvam is there, fear will be there. There is no two things here. That is the point Kavi Maharshi is saying to us. Avidyamanobhi avabhadihi dvayo. Because of avidya I am thinking, I am separate, you are separate. I separate from you, you separate from me. Where is the separation? This is the question. Alpajnanam, knowledge of the self, removes this bodily coverage, is it not? And brings us back to our pure identity of the soul, consciousness. In that state, there is no separation. Avidyamanobhi avabhadihi dvayo dhyadurdhiya svapna mano rethau yatha. That is, our intelligence is polluted, and even in the dream state and in the mental chariot, we have cultivated this knowledge so strongly of duality, dvandvam, and it has grown so big inside. Tal karma sangalpa vigalpagam mana. Due to that, what has happened? All our karma that follows that, full of sangalpa vigalpam. Is it not? Sangalpa vigalpagam mana. Budho nirindhyad abhayam tatasyal. Only way to come out of that is you have to nirundhyar. Nirundhyar means that you have to stop it. This thoughts what we have. You see, this ajnanam, what we say, it's not easy to know it. Because that's what we have got today. We haven't got the knowledge of the self, is it not? What we have got today is this ajnanam only, a huge bag of ajnanam behind us, baggage. And karana shariram, remembering karana shariram is this avidya. So karana shariram is full of avidya, which we have accumulated from various lifetimes. And carrying this baggage, we are trying to be nice to each other and thinking that everything will be peaceful. If you are nice to others, if I have a friendly society, friendly relatives and friends with whom I have a... But it's all false. This is the sad thing. It will, and suddenly something goes wrong and the whole bomb explodes. Everything finished with that. Is it not? This is how these relationships are. But what Krishna Kavi Maharshi is saying here, your very basis is wrong, he is saying. Why? It is based on dvaidam. Dvandvam is operating. Avidyamanobhi avabhadihi dvayo. That dvayam, the two, everything is two for you, isn't it? In this duality, where is the possibility, he is saying? Avidyamanom avabhadihi dvayo dhyadurdhiya svapnamano rethau yathaha. That, and this dhyanam meditation on this dvandvam has been done for several lifetimes and even in this life. And all the vasanas that has come with us from previous life, which is staying inside in the karana shariram as ajnanam or avidya, that has to be taken out, without which it is not possible to come to this realization. And tal karma sangalpa vikalpagam mano. Because of that, karmam starts. From tamogunam comes ajnanam. From ajnanam comes, what they call as avidya comes, karmam. Karmam comes from that. Karmam comes from ajnanam. There is no question about that. No one can justify karmam on any other level. Karmam is there only because of ajnanam inside. In me, there is ajnanam, therefore karmam. Karmam. This jnanam, karmam, they are always together. They are always together. That is why in the Bhagavad Gita you can see, Krishna begins that, isn't it? In the fourth chapter, you know. So, karmam, jnanam is always together. What is the relationship? Relationship is like this. Jnanam is independent. Karmam is dependent. Without jnanam, you can't have karmam. Without karmam, you can have jnanam. You see, from there itself you should know this. Without jnanam, you cannot have karmam. Karmam is coming from jnanam. Jnanam includes ajnanam as well. That's the important thing. When we say jnanam, you should know like that. Ajnanam is included in jnanam. This is a different kind of jnanam it is. Ajnanam is a different kind of jnanam. Ajnanam is not knowing anything. That's not ajnanam. Ajnanam is knowing something which is wrong. Wrong knowing, you can say. Knowing something wrong is ajnana. But it is also knowing. You see? So that is the way it is. That is why karmam is dependent on ajnanam. Only if you have ajnanam, you can... Ajnanam is a form of jnanam. It's a wrong form of jnanam it is. So, dependent on the ajnanam, karmam comes. But, jnanam can exist without karmam. So, karmam is dependent on jnanam. They cannot be separated at any time. That is why Krishna says in that Bhagavad Gita in the beginning, Imam Vivasvara Yogam, there he says there, isn't it? That... Jnana yogena sanghyanam, karma yogena yoginam, he says. Two ways, he said. Jnana yogena sanghyanam, karma yogena yoginam. Remember? In the fourth chapter. Later on in the Ekadasham, Krishna will explain this to Uddhava very well. When he talks about jiva samsara gadi, how jiva goes in this world. So here, he's saying here, tal karma sangalpa vikalpagam manu. Karma has started because of what? Because of this avidya inside. From there karmam began. And from that karmam sangalpa vikalpam comes. Because when karmam is executed, what happens? You will think about karma bhalam. Is it not? The result of the karmam you will be concerned about when you do engage in karmam. And that will create karma bhalam will be there. And in order to accept that karma bhalam, what else will happen? Ragadvesham will come from that. This is all everybody daily experience this is in life. So you can see, when it comes to jnanam, you are guarded from all these things when proper jnanam is inside. Tal karma sangalpa vikalpagam mano. Mind becomes active at that time. Budho nirindhyar abhayam tatasyal. If you are able to stop this movement of the ahangaram inside, avidya inside, and the karmam inside, at that time Krishna is saying here, Kavimarshi is saying here, budho nirundhyad. Nirundhya means if you learn to block it, abhayam tatasyal. On the spot you have abhayam, fearlessness. On this spot you have abhayam or fearlessness, saying Kavimarshi. So Navayogis are saying this, Krishna is saying this, all the great personalities are saying this to us, that the one way, through bhakti, through surrender. Other way, through jnanam, withdrawing from karma. That's the only two possibility. If you have that proper jnanam inside, then you can withdraw from karma, there will be no fear. Or, alternatively, surrender completely to Krishna, if the karma vasana has not left inside. And take, through shelter of Krishna, take the, come to the stage of fearlessness, abhaya. He says like that. So, when will, Krishna is saying there, when will that fearlessness come? At that time he says there that niruddho, he says there, isn't it? Niruddhi. Niruddho means that when the mind become, doesn't move anymore. There's no movement inside, andhakaranam or ahangaram. Or chittam or mind, whatever we may call different names. That means when there is no thought waves inside anymore. The moment you have thought waves, it means bhayam, fear will develop. But when the chittavritti, thought waves completely stops, the mind stops, and with that fear goes. With that fear goes. Of course, all this is on a very higher level. Krishna has spoken, isn't it? But what Krishna is saying as a sadhana here in the spiritual process is that to and accept this, that make this as the process to surrender to Krishna first and find a shelter there. That's the first step. What other things in that Kavi Maharshi's instructions, avidyamanopi avabhadihi dvayo, that verse is talking from a higher level, from a much higher level. But when we come to spiritual life, people like us who are initially coming to spiritual life, the first is surrender. First process is to surrender to Krishna and take strength from Krishna shelter. That is the way to go. So, one thing is that once you have come to spiritual life, not to give importance to the world. It's necessary not to give importance to the world. You can't have that, because you have to remember why it is like that. Remember I mentioned before, Vedam has no intention to talk to us about the creation, about this world, isn't it? Vedam has no intention to talk to us about the creation. But then people ask, why there is in the Bhagavadam, whole third canto is about creation. Is it not? About creation. Why is it like that? Reason is this. See, the Vedam sees the creation in a different way than the way we see creation. Creation comes from Maya. Is it not? Maya created this world. And Vedam is trying to get us out of Maya. So, it makes no sense discussing about Maya's creation unlimitedly, which is not going to benefit us. Because as far as Vedam is concerned, Maya is what is, Maya is presenting this world to us in this form to us. And discussing anything about this Maya doesn't make any, it's not the truth. So discussing about the something which is asat is not going to help us in our realization of the truth. So that is the reason Vedam does not give any importance in discussing about this prakriti, about the creation. That is the Vedic way of doing things. But because people will ask this question, where the world has come from, they have to be given an answer. And therefore they will discuss, of course there is Maya is there. Pradhanam Mahatattvam, Maya, Mahatattvam, Maya, Pradhanam Mahatattvam. Then Ahangaram, Satya Ahangaram, Rajas Ahangaram, Tamas Ahangaram. From Satya Ahangaram, all the mind has come. Rajas Ahangaram, senses have come. Tamas Ahangaram, body has come and the world has come. So like this, there is a systematic way of explaining this Maya's activity. But they have not given importance to it. But it's necessary to know this in the sense that this question will come, that how Maya is affecting us. So the Krishna is expecting us that once you come to spiritual life and self-realization, not to give undue importance to the world. Undue importance to the world. Because as I said before, what do we have to get from this world? We need some food to eat. And we need a place to sleep. And we need some little cash for buying whatever little things what we need in life. Otherwise, what is there in this world to carry with us? And if this understanding is not there, what will happen is you will become so serious about everything in this world, what's going on, and that's not helpful for spiritual realization. It's not helpful. and this existence, this is the answer to the problem. When they are discussing about competition, economy, and all these problems, what they are talking about, till they come to this understanding, problems is not going to go away. This is the only solution to the problems. And to get some food to eat and a place to sleep and some shelter, is this all this necessary, this drama what's going on now in this world, is this all necessary? Any common, any intelligent person can say that because we have not presented the purpose of life properly to others, and people have been misled in that way. Even the animals will make fun of us, seeing what we are doing in this world. Because even they don't do what we are doing. And most of it is done for the sake of vanity. Sake of vanity, either in the individual level, or on a national level, or on an international level, whatever level it is going on, it's all done based on vanity, isn't it? So that is why all these problems, what we have, you have to remember this, all vyavaharam is avidya based. Remember that. All vyavaharam in this world is avidya based. It will not allow you to get the knowledge inside. That is the problem. What people say that, oh, I have to keep my material life and spiritual life going together. That is itself is avidya it is. It's avidya it is. You have to come out of material life as quickly as possible. That's the only way to grow in spiritually. Otherwise, it's not possible. Some people say like that, don't they? They say, you should work hard, earn well, and you should keep your spiritual 16 rounds also. What do you answer to them? So what's his understanding? This you ask the question, isn't it? What's his understanding then? He thinks 16 rounds on one side and working hard like an ass whole day is spiritual life. No, he says, oh no, you got duties to the family, duties to the whole society now. That's all, you can say anything you like. At the end of the day, what Krishna is saying here is that all your vyavaharam in this world, no matter what it is avidya, is coming from avidya. That is why realized souls and vyavaharam cannot go together. They cannot go together. Because society, what we have part of, and society is based on avidya. Society is based on avidya, isn't it? We kept the saying again and again. Ajnanam is the basis on which society is created. And here, I will frighten you and you will frighten me. This is how this society runs, isn't it? So, and this is the only help we can do to each other. I can frighten you with various things, saying that, oh, you should look after your health. You know, if you don't get your ECG done, or if you don't get your MRI done, you don't know what will happen. You better go today itself. Wife frightens the husband. Husband frightens the wife also, saying that you better get it done. And anything, doesn't matter, whatever it costs, doesn't matter. It has to be done. Like this is the help we are giving each other. This is our so-called society. Society does all these things, is it not? Just like various things, insurance business. And anywhere you look around, this is what the international society also does sometimes to us. Frightens you out. You know. So that this bhayam is that, it's like a circle. You are caught inside that. And this courage to jump out of that field, that courage, that's called vairagyam. That's called vairagyam. So that vairagyam itself is, Krishna is talking about abhayam here. Abhayam here. That is how it is. So, you may have a general idea what Krishna is talking about abhayam means. Abhayam is not just the physical strength. It is all that's coming from the realization of the truth. And certain steps necessary from our side to get to that state, abhayam. So, abhayastattva samshuddhir jnana yoga vyavasthiti danam damascha yajnyascha swadhyayastara arjavam. First, verses like that. This is all about abhayam. Abhayam is an essential quality in spiritual life. Absolutely essential. Why? Because it is through abhayam that we move away from the world. We move away from the world. We get closer to Krishna through abhayam. Because if we don't surrender to Krishna, this quality of abhayam will not happen inside. And you will notice that dealing with the society, particularly what we live in, which is continuously frightening you every moment. If you don't do this, you will end up like that, and so many things they will tell you. And so, it's up to us now, not up to Krishna. It's up to us. How much abhayam do you want? That is the question, isn't it? So, abhayam. Second thing is what Krishna calls it as sattva samshuddhi. You will see the second qualifications. Krishna says that sattva samshuddhi. So this sattva samshuddhi, what is sattva samshuddhi means? In every one of us, there is these three modes of nature, is it not? Sattvagunam, rajogunam, tamogunam. Three things are there. In these three modes of nature, when the sattvagunam becomes a little bit overpowering, little powerful, and becomes a bit purified inside, it is at that time you will start understanding spiritual life. All the topics related to spiritual life, you will start experiencing it little bit inside. You will start feeling it makes sense. That's when it makes sense. Up to that time it won't make sense. You can notice this. It is not due to the person who is speaking that it happens. Or it is not due to the book what you are reading. It is only due to the shift in your gunam inside that tamogunam, rajogunam has gone and the sattvagunam has started flowering inside. The result of that is whatever you are hearing from Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavadam or what you read in the Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavadam will start making sense. This is how it happens. if it's not making sense, till you're not feeling any attraction, means rajogunam tamogunam is deeper inside. This is the way it is. It's not due to the person who is speaking. It's not that's what's happening. No. It is the removal of this rajogunam tamogunam inside and sattugunam building up inside develops this proper mood inside, receptivity inside. And that is why it's Krishna saying here, sometimes people say, oh, he's saying so many things, can't understand what he's talking about. They say like that, isn't it? Sometimes they do like that. Because the reason you're not able to understand is not his fault or person who has spoken or anything, it's the problems inside us. Problem? Well, problem is inside us. Because when sattugunam becomes pure, sattugunam has to purify also. How will the sattugunam will purify? There's a whole discussion about sattugunam in the Upanishads. Chandogya Upanishad talks about sattugunam very seriously. That how to purify sattugunam? If it is rajogunam, tamogunam, you won't be sitting here even. You won't be here. But sattugunam brings, but that sattugunam inside also has to get purified. Only then you can hear properly. Receptivity will come from that sattugunam. Of course, sometimes there's always, this is a very interesting chapter in the Bhagavadam. It is the 25th chapter in the 11th canto. Gunavanam asamishranam. This gunam, these three modes of nature, which we have discussed in the Bhagavad Gita, in the Bhagavadam, Krishna discusses in a completely different way with Uddhava. There he says that these three gunam, in two levels they can exist. One, pure sattugunam, pure rajogunam, pure tamogunam. What is the characteristics of a person who has got pure sattugunam, or pure rajogunam, or pure tamogunam? Krishna says that first. And that is gunanam asamishranam, when it is not mixed. Then Krishna is saying, when sattvam and rajasam mixes, what happens? Rajasam and tamasam mixes, what happens? Sattvam and tamasam mixes, what happens? He discusses that separately in that chapter, 25th, I think it is a chapter, in the 11th canto. So there, the two things, if you compare, you will find there one interesting thing, that this sattva samshuddhi, Upanishatva talks about, Chandokyam mentions that, Narada Maharshi, Sanat Kumara Maharshi and Narada Maharshi have a conversation there in the Upanishads. And there he says there that Ahara Shuddhau Sattva Shuddhi, beginning with Ahara, food. Ahara Shuddhau Sattva Shuddhi. How much importance they gave to food? Is it not? Unfortunately, with all our development now, it is not possible to get pure food. They made it like that, isn't it? The whole economy is running in that basis. Ahara Shuddhau Sattva Shuddhi. Sattva Shuddhi comes from Ahara Shuddhi. Ahara Shuddhau Sattva Shuddhi. Ahara Shuddhau Sattva Shuddhau Sattva Shuddhi. Sattva Shuddhau Dhruva Smriti. Smridir Labdhe Sarva Gandhina Vipramokshas Tasmai. Mudidam kashayaya tamasasamsaram darshayati. And Bhagavan Sanat Kumara saha skanda ityachakshade ta skanda ityachakshade, says in the Chandogya Upanishad. It says like that. So Upanishad says there that aharam is pure, sattva-shuddhi will come if aharam is pure. And if sattugunam, sattugunam, sattva-shuddhi means sattugunam. Sattugunam builds up inside. If that sattugunam is pure, this unusual power for self-inquiry, atma-vicharam, that will wake up inside in a person. Will wake up inside a person. And this atma-vicharam, self-inquiry, and that will vibrate inside so strongly. In order, suppose for example, you hear Bhagavad Gita and for a few seconds your thought waves have gone in the direction of the soul. Thinking about the soul, at least you started thinking, what is this thing called soul? Some idea like that, it went in that direction. But immediately it changes and goes to something else in this world. Is it not? Why is that? Why is that happening? this is what Krishna is saying here, that this sattvagunam, when sattvagunam becomes stronger inside, that won't happen. You see? People ask this question always, isn't it? That when they sat down on a nice day, morning, nobody's there at home, you're sitting down with Bhagavad Gita in the hand, you want to absorb in the knowledge of the self. And whatever we have heard from Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, you want to analyze it. And you just want to get deeper perception of that. So, but as soon as you start thinking, some other thoughts comes. They're gone. Completely gone. And then you say, what Bhagavad Gita now? I've got things to do. Karma vasana inside completely pushes you out. Why is that happening? Because of impure sattvagunam. Sattvagunam has got two positions. One, malina sattvam it's called. Malina sattvam means sattvagunam which is mixed with rajogunam or mixed with tamogunam. It's impure sattvam. That's what we have got. We have sattvagunam but it's impure because of contamination with rajogunam and tamogunam. So, till we come to shuddha sattvam, pure sattvagunam, this will not happen. Which one? This continuity in self-inquiry. You will notice this all the time. You heard Bhagavad Gita, you felt that everything is right, what Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita. But when you start absorbing in that, you are not getting the strength to stay in that. You immediately you are thrown off from that, from the rails. And then your mind went into the work, went to the paying bills or so many other things. And then after an hour or so, I was reading Bhagavad Gita, wasn't I? And when you look, Bhagavad Gita is sitting there, you are in another world altogether. Why is that? Because of this. Malina sattvam it is. Sattvam is there, but it is malina sattvam. Impure sattvam. That's called malina sattvam. So, malina sattvam has to change to shuddha sattvam. When shuddha sattvam happens, this won't happen. Only in shuddha sattvam stage, this drifting away will stop. That is what Upanishad is saying here. Avichinna swanubhuti smritihi. Avichinnam. Avichinnam means there is no interruptions, not breaking. Anubhuti, swanubhuti smritihi. Swanubhuti means self-experience, knowledge of the self, that remembrance. So, and if that continues, and then what will happen? Ajnayam hridaya grandhi vipramokshaha. That will break that hridaya grandhi, not of material attachment inside. Visheshena visheshtanaya pramoshana bhedaha. Ajnana hridaya grandhi moves away and he will come to what is known as tatvajnani. Tatvajnana will develop, aham brahmasmi realization will come to that person. And that Mahavakyam, when we say Mahavakyam, at the moment when I say aham brahmasmi, it's coming from the intellectual level. Not from my anubhuti, isn't it? It's coming from the intellectual level. So what Krishna Upanishad saying here is that when the sattvagunam has built up inside and it has become shuddha sattvam, pure sattvam, in that stage your self-inquiry will become continuous, non-stop, avichinnam, without any break, and that will eventually destroy that hridaya grandhi, ajnana grandhi, vidyade hridaya grandhi, says the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? Bhagavatam. The hridaya grandhi will be broken and tatvajnanam will get stronger inside and aham brahmasmi will be experienced inside. Aham brahmasmi will be experienced inside. That is what Krishna is saying here. So, this sattvagunam is the first thing we have to get in. And that sattvagunam, when does it become pure? When the food is pure. Ahara shuddham, sattva shuddhi. So, ahara means not only take that as the what you eat with the mouth. That's not only the food. Food means all the five senses, what it intake. Intake through all the five senses. Of course, food is the most important of all these five other things, isn't it? So, that is why Shruti says this, that Vedam says this, that the food what we eat, it turns out into three different levels. It transforms, isn't it? Annam amshinam tretha vidiyade. In three ways annam, food goes away. Tasyaha yastavishto dhaduhu. That tat purisham bhavadi yopya aham tan mamsam yo anishtaha tan manaha. So the most gross form of the food is that what we release from the body in the toilet that goes through, the gross part of our food. And the middle part of that, that joins the body. Whatever food what we're eating, there's three levels it is. The most gross thing is that what we throw away. And the middle part of it is absorbed by the body. Absorbed by the body. And the most subtle part of that food turns into the mind. Turns into the mind. So, every food what we take in there, there is a part of the our what we discharge, part of that is in the food. There is a part of our flesh and blood and everything in the food, and there is a part of our mind as well. Is it not? Food goes in these three ways. One part goes into the toilet, one part goes into the body, and one part goes into our mind, which is the most subtle thing. It's the most subtle thing. So when ahara shuddhi comes, when the food gets purified, the sattva shuddhi, mind becomes pure, because most subtle part of the food goes to the mind. Goes to the mind. And most important thing here is that by denying food, it is not going to solve the problem. By denying the food, it's not going to solve the problem. In other words, in the Vedic philosophy, the most important place is what? Kitchen. Nowadays, people think temple room and deity room is important. No. In Vedic philosophy, kitchen is the most important place in the house. It is difficult to understand that, isn't it? Most of the people think in another way. They think, because when they build houses now, in the modern system, they build one temple room also in the house. And when the visitors come, they say, oh, that's our temple room, to show us that we have got the deities there. Oh, this very pious family. They got temple deities, everything. Man will be doing all kinds of shoddy dealings outside, but he's got deities at home, so he's authenticated because he's got deities at home. This is not spiritual life. This is all misunderstanding, completely misunderstanding. What Krishna is saying to us, if you look into the Vedic philosophy properly, you'll understand this, that the most important place in the house is the kitchen. That is where your satugunam is generated. Satugunam is generated there. So that is not the temple room. Temple room is not the most important place. Kitchen is the most important place. And old houses, if you look, ancient houses, there is no deity room in the house. This is a modern thing because deity started manufacturing in a gross level, in a large number. And it has also become a sort of social acceptance if you have a temple room in the house. And invite people and have some program. So people think, oh, this, you see, they always have programs at home, satsang at home, deities at home, they have got, what more do you want? So this becomes a matter of vanity in people's, in so ignorance it is, kind of ignorance that is. Does not mean you shouldn't do deity worship, that's not what it means. What it's saying is that more important than anything else is what is going in. And in the ancient houses, ancient build, when were highly elevated brahmanas they lived, they built houses, there was no temple room in the house. They gave importance to their kitchen. They won't let anybody in there first, anyone and everyone. They will guard the kitchen all the time, what's going in there. And those who enter there, they gave importance to them, more than anything else. So, and in the old, this modern days only we have so many deities. Now there's plenty of deities, isn't it? Sometimes we don't know. Some temples you go in India, you have to see yourself. The any deity, whether they can get hold of, they got hold of all of that, and all made in marble. And within one big temple, hundreds of deities there. And you don't know to whom to pray. You get confused about that. Then it becomes like a museum, isn't it? And they put the name underneath to know who is this deity, who is this deity, who is this deity, like that. So this is a new thing, that the deity worship at home in that way, it has happened. It's a new thing. What to talk about deity worship? Even the photographs were not available in the past. There was no photos in the past. Photos are with the camera development. Now every morning, what do you see? The half a dozen people standing with a mobile phone taking the Krishna's photo in the temple, isn't it? So because all these things have come, people are thinking that this is the bona fide way of doing it. And somebody else sees that, he thinks, oh, I should also get a mobile which can take photos like that, or an iPad. So Krishna has to look at all the mobiles, iPads, everything when he's standing there. Well, you can't tell them anything because they'll get offended if you tell them. Because they'll come very seriously with their latest gadget to get Krishna's latest photo. And this is all, they are understand the grossness in them. So that is what Krishna is saying here, that the first thing is that there were no pictures, there were no cameras, there was no deities. It all started from the kitchen. Kitchen is the main place of worship, the place of worship. So that is where everything related to the deity whom you are worshipping. So, and accordingly, the food that you prepare in that kitchen will be like that. It will be like, because kitchen is the most important place. So the whole house is dependent on the kitchen. Whole house is dependent on the kitchen. And the food, what you prepare there, that food, if it has got any problems, any deficiencies in there, that will have its effect on the person. For example, suppose the food that you bring inside to the kitchen is anything forbidden things, which is not allowed as per the Shastram, it will have its effect on the person who is living in the house. Then food that gets contaminated due to association. Then food that is contaminated by the person who is cooking the food, if the consciousness is poor, that will have its effect on the food. And if you have acquired money in the wrong way and purchased food, it will have its effect on the food. So these four things they talk about generally, how the food can be contaminated. By wrong means, acquire the wealth, and with that you purchase the food. It will have its effect. That all that wrong things what you have done will come through the food. Secondly, the person who is preparing the food, all that person's consciousness, in other words. And then, due to association with the food handled by people who are not Krishna conscious, in other words. Sometimes we get that food, isn't it, through supermarkets and all, it comes through. We don't know who handles this food. It's not always pure, isn't it? And otherwise, sometimes food that is already contaminated in other ways. So, if you ask the question, Acharyas are saying to us, problem comes from all this. Problems are coming from all these four methods. Now, if you ask the question, that if you look at all these things, will it be possible to eat? We are people, we want everything packaged and kept it. Just put the credit card, swipe the card and get the food out. Isn't it? Now that's the type of people we are. So if you ask this question, it's difficult to answer the question, because Shastram is saying to us, food that is contaminated, if it goes in, it will have its effect. That's all Shastram can tell us. Shastram can say. So for example, that destroys the mind, because this mind is a topic. You can discuss about the mind, which we'll discuss in the, because that's what the topic in the Bhagavad-gita is all about, the mind. The whole month is there substance to talk about that then. And you will notice that how Krishna considers that this mind is gone, with the food, it is not possible to develop this satogunam inside. And for example, food like meat, fish and things like that, or food that is not specified for human consumption. And in Sanatana Dharma, they always say like this, that all different denominations, whether it is Advaitam, Dvaitam, Vishishtadvaitam, whatever it is, they all agree on all these things. There is no disagreement that food has to be pure. And certain people are allowed certain kind of food. For example, Kshatriyas who are fighting the war, they are allowed to eat meat. Or Shudras are allowed, and sometimes Vaishyas are allowed in certain situations. They are not being denied. They are allowed to eat. But the moment you have come to spiritual life, then you have to give up. Suppose you are not concerned about spiritual life. You are only living as a... See, I am saying I am a Shudra. I am allowed to eat meat. Shudra is allowed because he is not into spiritual life. I am a Shudra category. I am doing my life, living life in this world as a Shudra, earning my living, serving somebody. And I follow certain rules and regulations, what suits my temperament or what I suits for my, what I consider spiritual life. I don't follow Shastram seriously. I take only what society has dictated to me. If I live like that, I am allowed to eat meat. And sometimes Kshatriyas are allowed to eat meat because they have this responsibility that they have to fight in the war, and for them they are provided meat. There's nothing wrong in that. They are allowed to eat. But the moment you take to spiritual life for self-realization, you have to give it up. That is the principle. Because people always ask this question, Kshatriyas were eating meat. Yes, if you look into Bhagavatam, Vasishtha Maharshi was fed with meat. And Vishwamitra was fed with meat. There's so many instances in the... And you start wondering, in one place, Agastya Maharshi was offered, human flesh was offered to him. That, of course, was done by the Rakshasas in a different mode. Important point to remember here is that once you take to spiritual life seriously, then you have to follow this instruction. Because Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam is for those who are in spiritual life, who has accepted that self-realization is important. I don't want to come back again and accept another body here. If you are convinced on that, only then all these rules are important, otherwise not. So suppose you have to fight, you are fighting in the army, you're fighting for the army, and you have to go into the battlefield, and you can't say in the battlefield that I am a devotee, so therefore I need prasadam. In the middle of Afghanistan, if you say this army is not going to provide you prasadam, there are you. Then they will say, you come here to die, go and fight the war, they will say to you, wouldn't they? So in those situations, that is their prarabdham. There's nothing you can do about it. That you have to take it this way, that if that is my work, and sometimes some people have to work very, very hard physically, isn't it? At that time, your sweet rice and halwa is not going to solve the problem. Won't be good enough if you are working in the North Sea on the oil rig, for example. Such cold, severe cold conditions. And you have to work very physically very much. And that time you need your energy. And there are various energy sources, what they have developed, whatever it is to suit that particular working conditions. And there it is allowed. That's allowed. But if you come to spiritual life, no, you have to give up. That's the principle behind it. So this doubt should not come to our mind, when are we allowed and when we are not allowed. That doubt has to go. Because often devotees ask this question, isn't it? They read Shastram and they see people are eating meat. Many people are eating meat and there were sacrifices, their killing was accepted. But the reason is this, that if you take to spiritual life, and first of all this is the question, that you have to accept that I am living in this world for realizing the truth, not for making the society happy or family happy or somebody else happy. I am living for myself to know what the truth is. I don't want to come back with another material body again. That is spiritual life. If you have taken that decision, then you may have to tolerate a lot of things in this world. That is what's called titiksha. Krishna is going to talk about that later. So Tidiksha, once we come to spiritual life, and if the spiritual goal is very strongly fixed inside, then all other things has to adjust along with that. There's no other way. It has to be adjusted. You can't complain again anymore. Look, oh, I have to have my spiritual life and I have to go to work also. No, you adjust your work in such a way that your spiritual life goes on. Not that you adjust your spiritual life to suit the work. That's useless. That doesn't help very much. So, Krishna is saying here that the this can happen. You have to remember, look back into the history, what has happened. So here, Krishna is saying, yes, sir, once you come to the spiritual path, Adhyatmam, spiritual life, and you are taken serious about. This is why Krishna is saying here that Vyavasayalpiya Buddhi Egeha Kurunandana. Isn't it? Remember? There. Bahushaka Hanandascha Buddhayo Avyavasayam. The last two lines Krishna is saying, if you are Bahushaka, then Buddhayo Avyavasayam, I have nothing to say to them. That's their choice what they want to do. But Vyavasayalpiya Buddhi Egeha Kurunandana. This is what it is. That you have decided inside that this is my goal and I'm only going to follow this and this alone. That firm decision inside. That is what Krishna is saying here. So when we come to spiritual life, these decisions have to be made at some point or the other. You can't keep on rolling in the world thinking that I'll keep my material goals and the spiritual goal same time and adjust between the two and keep both going simultaneously. That won't last very long. One day or the other you will fall into the material life again. The quicker we say goodbye to the material side of life and move away from that and stick to the spiritual path, then whatever discipline that is necessary to get to us in the spiritual life, we have to accept that. And others, we have to write it off. There's no other way. You remember that in Bengal, there was a famous famine, Bengal famine, 1946 or something like that, when the British ruled India. At that time this famine happened. When the famine happened, there was a severe shortage of vegetables, grains, everything. There was nothing available practically. Prabhupada mentions this in one of the lectures. He talks about Bengal famine, how situation was really, really difficult. There was no food, nothing to eat. So, at that time, what happened was, one of the Brahmana had loads of Brahmanas were going to die through hunger. At that time, a Brahmana had a darshanam. Kali appeared in his dream and told him that there is plenty of vegetables in the Ganga River. And that is the day they started calling fish as vegetables. And this is how Bengali Brahmin started eating fish from that day. This is how it happened. Bengali Brahmin started eating fish from that day onwards. And what has happened since then? Fish has become the best dish for them. In Bengal, Brahmins eat fish. So it started like this. With the famine it started, and they started eating fish because there was nothing else available because of the famine. And then later on fish became the most important dish in the feast, in the feast. Therefore, that's why rest of the Brahmins, when they go to Bengal from other parts, they're a little bit hesitant because of this. So there is one statement about that. Kavyakanta Ganapati, he mentions this in one of the books, he mentions that. He says, there was an argument, he talks about that. He said, Asuvyayo vastu vasuvyayo vapyami na meena vyasanam tejadi. He says, this is Kavyakanta Ganapati's statement about, he says, when money or even life was at stake, the Bengalis do not stop eating fish. It's just a joke, yes, made out of that. So, one thing is here that even if the money has gone off or your life has gone away, still the smell of fish won't leave them. That's Bengali Brahmanas saying about that. Because once you have become addicted to that, it is difficult to give it up, isn't it? So, but generally, fish, meat, all these things cannot be accepted in spiritual life. Cannot be accepted. You can see Prabhupada had some difficulties about that. He went to visit a family members. I think it was in Janakpuri or somewhere. And they offered him fish. And Prabhupada was in a shock. And he didn't know about it. He was young. Parents sent him there. And when fish was served, and he was a family member, they have invited and they traveled all the way from Calcutta to Puri. And when it was served, he had to politely say it to them. Because otherwise they take it in the wrong way, isn't it? Oh, we have given them it so much, they have cooked it very specially for him to, and all that, you know how it is. So, but Prabhupada had to say it to them. And Prabhupada was very firm on that, on these issues like this. So this is cannot be accepted, this kind of things. So this is a natural problem with the food, isn't it? Natural problem it is that somebody offers you fish and he says to you it's vegetable from the Ganga River. And that smell will never leave us, isn't it? So it is like that. So similarly, things like onions and what they call the sawala and all things like that, all of them can do damage to us, can do damage to us. So sometimes in India it is particularly bad. They are saying that the onion prices have gone up so high now. Government is saying that we'll import from Australia and Afghanistan and Canada and wherever it is available. It's going to import that because the whole country is up in arms with the onion prices going up. They couldn't cook anything. They say, how can you cook without onions? They're asking this question, isn't it? So we can live in this world without onion. I'm sure we can. So these are things what we have to take notice of while talking about this. So these are the things what Krishna is saying here, that the Sattva Samshuddhi means that firmness inside not to accept such things, not to accept such things. So sometimes Ayurvedam will say onion is necessary or garlic is necessary for certain medicines. That if it is necessary for somebody, for some reason, particular reason, let them take it, because what else is the option left? So in their case, you can't say this is allowed and not allowed, because they have to get their body is going suffering through problems. But otherwise, if and the physician says you can take onions or what is that other one?
Garlic
and asafoetida and things like that. So sometimes people carry in very hot countries, you'll see, people carry some onions with them. Why it is like that? When the heat is effect of the heat is very high, they'll bite the onion. In Delhi, you can see this often, people biting the onions for this reason. Because, but once you come to Adhyatmam, spiritual life, then body is not important anymore. That is why little adjustment if you have to make, you have to make it. You have no choice there. And because all these things has an impact on the mind. And it will delay your self-realization. Tattva-jnanam will be delayed. So, if you have very powerful sattva-gunam inside, it will not affect. You see? Suppose you are very powerful inside, in sattva-gunam, then it will not affect them. But, generally, for most of us, we have to give up all these things. Because these are natural problems with the food what we eat. Similarly, cooking with anger inside, or in frustration or in a depressed mood, or hating someone, and or laubham, kamam, krodham, lust, anger, greed, all these things, not bathing, impure level. If you cook food, all these things can happen. That will all have its effect on the food. So imagine how serious we have to be while cooking in the kitchen. We come back from the work, totally disappointed, hungry, starving, and look at microwave. See, so the whole system has gone like that. Fortunately, Krishna has given us this microwave to solve the problems. 2 minutes, and they tell you on the packet itself, not more than 5 minutes. Everything which is within 5 minutes is ready. And you are so tired and fed up with life, because after all the problems you had at work, and some things like that, this is not proper preparing the food. It does not create satvagunam, it creates tamogunam inside. That's the point Krishna is making here. So Ramanujacharya spoke about this in depth. Ramanujacharya spoke about this in depth. We'll talk about it in a few minutes.
आनन्दाम्बुदिवर्धनं प्रतिपद पूर्णामृतास्वादनं सर्वात्मासुरनं करं जय जय श्रीकृष्ण संकीर्तनं नमः कालिकुहुदा निजसर्वशक्ति तत्रापिदायमिदा स्मरणेन काला एतादृशीतव कृपा भगवन् नमामि उदैवमीद शम्भाजनि अनुरागा ప్రణాలీచేన సహిష్ణునా అమానినామానదేన కీర్తనీయ సదాభక్తిరీతో कृपया तव पादपङ्कजसिदोलीसदृशम् कलश्रुधारया पुनतेर्निजितं कदा वदूत् तव नाम शून्यादितं जगलु सर्वं गोविन्दे
అభయసత్వసంశుద్ధిర్ జ్ఞానయోగ వ్యవస్థితి దానం తమశ్చ యజ్ఞశ్చ స్వాధ్యాయస్తవ ఆర్జవం. సో వీ ఆర్ టాకింగ్ అబౌట్ సత్వసంశుద్ధి, ఇసనే అభయం యు సీ సత్వసంశుద్ధి వి ఆర్ డిస్కసింగ్ నౌ. అభయసత్వసంశుద్ధి. సో ఆల్ దీస్ థింగ్స్ దట్ డిఫెక్ట్స్ వైల్ ప్రిపేరింగ్ ఫుడ్, వాట్ కృష్ణ హ్యాస్ స్పోకన్ అబౌట్ ఇట్ and Upanishads have spoken about that. While cooking, for example, suppose any kind of strong emotions inside, hate or anger with someone and things like that, and without doing or cooking without in proper consciousness, and that will have its effect. Well, Ramanujacharya mentions there all this is called a samsarga dosham. Samsarga dosham means that due to association that happens. And sometimes when we see all these things, sometimes people get angry about that and they argue and fight and make the home as a battlefield of Kurukshetra. That shouldn't happen. Of course, sometimes you have to tolerate certain things, you have to ignore it also. And so important thing is not to create a fuss about that, but at the same time, samsarga dosham, they call it as, that something that has come in a natural way with the food, or something that has come from outside due to association with that. So, main principle is that not to eat from the hotel. Not to eat from the hotel. That's the first thing. Because you have to remember, hotel is open only for one reason, to make money, isn't it? So that consciousness will come through the food. It's unavoidable. It's been done to, it can't do anything about it. That's why ancient times there was no hotels, didn't exist. Hotel business didn't exist. Everyone ate at home or ate at somebody else's house. But eating hotels is purely considered to be the lowest thing. It may be 5-star, doesn't matter. But you shouldn't eat there. That's the principle. Because only for the sake of the money, they are preparing food, isn't it? So, and unfortunately what happens is sometimes in life it happens that you have no other way except to eat at the hotel, if that happens, isn't it? And you can't say anything about that. But the best thing is if you can cook your own food. That is the best option. If you can prepare your own food and satisfy yourself, that is the best answer to all the other problems. So, particularly those who are taking Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Vedantam seriously. Because they need to maintain a good standard of consciousness inside, and therefore it is recommended like that. So, so in one of the yoga systems, this self-cooking food is considered to be an important thing. Everybody cannot do that because the situation is not favorable. What can you do? You have to work, you have to go so many places, so therefore it becomes difficult. But for those who it is possible, they should do it. That's the way it is. And but people have got facilities for that and still going and eating in the hotel. That's wrong. That's considered to be wrong. Because if you avoid hotel food and prepare your own food and take it, satugunam will build up inside. And it may not be the best all dishes what you want to eat, may not get it, but being satisfied with everything, isn't it? And not only that, not to eat excess, more than what is necessary. What is necessary for maintaining the body. In that case, Satya Shuddhi will come. And Ahriyade iti aharaha. Ahara means Ahriyade. Ahriyade means what you take through all your senses. That means Ahriyade. Ahriyade means whatever you are consuming through your senses, like eyes, ears, nose, mouth, touch, everything, all the senses. Whatever you are in senses, and that is aharam. If all of that is pure, satugunam will become pure. Satugunam will become pure. You can see when you are not infected with television, not infected with any of the modern things, and newspapers, and internet, and things like that, and also food in a natural way. You will see in a natural way shanti developing inside without any external efforts. Shanti comes, peacefulness comes inside. That indicates to us that there is some truth in what they are saying, isn't it? Ahara shuddha, satya shuddhi. So this, so not only through the mouth, that's what it's saying here, that but main thing is what is the food that goes inside. In Chandogya Upanishad, there is what is called as Bhumavidya. Bhumavidya, Dharavidya, there's so many vidyas spoken there, Bhumavidya. After that, at the end is this thing spoken. And there it says there, everything comes from the soul. Everything comes from the soul. Everything stays in the soul and everything finally goes back to the soul. So, Chandogya says like this, that Atma alone exists. Nothing else exists here. And if Atma is taken seriously, Atma is taken seriously, all your activities which goes through different senses will get purified. If you take seriously Atma, soul is taken seriously, that means that awareness all the time that I am Atma, I am not this body. Now when we are eating, what are we eating for? For the body. We are saying, oh, this is good for you. When I say to somebody, this is good for you, I mean it's good for your body. That's the way we are eating, isn't it? Oh, this vitamin is there, vitamin D or vitamin C. This way we analyze food all the time with respect to the body and we are eating it. That is wrong. That's what Krishna is saying here. Upanishad is saying to us that while eating, the understanding should be that Atma is what is being benefited from this. Like the way Krishna spoke, Vaishwanara Vidya. Vaishwanara Vidya is this, that not eating vitamin D and vitamin E, rather Vaishwanara inside is asking for the food. Vaishwanara, aham Vaishwanaro bhutva praninam deham ashrita. If eating food in that way, and eating food thinking that iron is there, protein is there, carbohydrate is there, and vitamins are there, it is different, isn't it? It's not the same. When you are saying vitamins, carbohydrate and protein, that means you are completely on the understanding of the body, you are eating the food. Whereas if you see that aham vaishwanara bhutva praninam deham ashrita is recognizing Krishna inside, and whatever that comes, let Krishna is having that, let Krishna purify that. That purifies the food because of the change in the shift in the consciousness. So that is why ahara shuddho sattva shuddhi, that Krishna says, the Upanishad says. So little by little this concept has to come inside us while eating, and not to discuss too much about these carbohydrates and proteins and vitamins and all. It's all nonsense. It's all doesn't going to make anything. You can keep on doing this for how long? And then you want spiritual life also with this. How is it going to work? Either body or the soul. You have to live one by or the other. But we want both. That's where all this difficulty is. And we keep on discussing this, and devotees are also saying now. That after the end, they're saying it's good for you. So where are we? Where is it going, the train? So everything, that's why Chandogyam is saying like this. Atma is important. What is beneficial for the Atma? Atma doesn't want your vitamins and all that. Atma is not bothered about whether it's vitamin or what. Some food is necessary to sustain this body. That's all, because body is a disease as far as Atma is concerned. Till the body leaves away, you have to maintain it so that it doesn't bother you for the little time what we have here. With that understanding, if it is accepted, then it won't cause any difficulties. So, ahara shuddho sattva shuddhi. So, Krishna is saying here, little by little, with Krishna consciousness, food has to get purified. Aham vaishwanara bhutva praninam deham ashrita. Pranabhana samayiktam pajamenam chaturvidam. We discussed that verse, isn't it? So, bhakti, remembering Krishna, in this way, chittam will get purified. And Bhakti Shastram, science of Bhakti says, offer it to Krishna and take it. That way make it purified. Purify the food, isn't it? That is a technique in the Bhakti process. And also to purify the kitchen by doing that. Because if you are offering food, naturally kitchen will be in a pure state, isn't it? So that is the principle behind it. So, in bhakti, Krishna they calls it as naivedyam. Naivedyam means that's offered to the deity. Now there's a story about this, not story, it's the actual incident what happened. That Ramanujacharya's spiritual master, Alavandar, is a well known personality. You will see about him spoken that he was an extremely intelligent person, Yamunacharya. And Yamunacharya had an upbringing in a very, very orthodox, highly rigorous family who followed the Vaishnava traditions very, very strongly. And how this Yamunacharya, what he was called in the early days, Yamunacharya had, in a particular instance, got involved in a debate with a very famous scholar of those days, and such a young boy he was, but in that debate he defeated that great scholar. And when he was defeated, the queen agreed to hand over half of the kingdom to this young boy to rule, told him that because of his intelligence. And this Yamuna had a very impressive lineage, Yamunacharya. His father, Vishishtadvaitam, comes from this tradition. A scholar, Nathamuni, was his grandfather. Nathamuni was Yamunacharya's grandfather. And Ishwara Bhatt was his father. Ishwara Bhatt was his father. So he had this, Yamunacharya had a gift. What was that gift? Brahmanas called it as Ekasandigrahi. Ekasandigrahi means, he hears it once, he will never forget it. Mm. that power. Not like us. Million times we heard, and then we say, what did he say? That's not Ekasandhigrahi. Ekasandhigrahi means, once you have heard, it will remain inside. That absorption inside. Why did that happen? Due to Satvaguna. Satvaguna's power we are talking about. Isn't it? So, so he studied all the Shastram, everything, at an early age in life. And he became a king like this. Then the queen insisted that half the kingdom, there were small kingdoms, 600 kingdoms were existing at that time. And one of the small kingdoms, and the queen decided that half the kingdom should be given to him. So he was ruling the kingdom like that. But after becoming a king, what happened to Yamanacharya was, he had no time to engage in salsangam or any kind of studying shastram. And he lost, gone out of line. And became, got absorbed in the administration, isn't it? But there was another person, Manakkal Nambi, who was actually, who knew his father. That means Yamanacharya's father, Nathamuni, Isharabhat, they were all known to him. And he had taken spiritual instructions from them in his early days. And he used to think about Yamanacharya as such an intelligent child, because parents had brought him up in that way. And Nathamuni and Isharabhat, they had brought up this child so nicely in Satvagunam. And he had this power in him, Ekasandhigrahi. And he was thinking that why Yamanacharya is spending his time in this way, in this kingdom business, Kshatriya's job, not even a Brahmana's job, but Kshatriya's job it is, isn't it? So they looked down upon that and said that Nambi says that I must go and get him out from that, from this job of a king, which is not easy, isn't it? First of all, to get an audience with the king is very difficult. They won't see you like that. Those days they were very powerful. And they had that Kshatriya nature in them, that they won't allow to see them, and to get access to them is very difficult. They rule by their authority. So he thought about this Nambi, and Nambi finally found out that Yamanacharya had a good liking for this particular spinach, Thuthavila or something like that they call it. And he knew that if I get this back to him and he start taking it, one day he will turn around back to spiritual life again. Directly he couldn't talk to him. So what he did was, every day he brought this particular spinach and brought it and gave it into the kitchen of the king, king's palace kitchen, and he went away without asking for money. Every day he will bring this and say to the cook in the kitchen, give it to the king, he likes it. He puts a word. And the cook used to prepare this spinach and give it to the king. And king used to like it. King initially didn't think, he thought that somebody is purchasing and bringing it every day. But after many months, king was enjoying it, because it creates satvagunam inside. And king one day casually asked the cook, where do you get this particular spinach? Where are you getting it from? He said, one Brahmana comes every day and he delivers it to us and said to me that the king likes it, give it to him. And he goes away without saying anything. No words were spoken. And the king one day, out of curiosity, because of that satvagunam inside, he says to the cook, when the Brahmana comes next time, call him, I want to talk to him, he said. So got the first opportunity to see the king. Nowadays, how does it happen? You go with a bottle, isn't it? This is the difference. This is the difference then and now. Now you're going to see an important person. You carry a bottle with you, and we sit together and have a good drink together, and then we discuss all our problems. And to forget all our problems, we have to drink together. Is it not? And then you go home, and then you... we don't have to discuss that. But what happened was that this is the that Brahminical culture. You can see there how fine they were in their thinking, that subtlety in thinking, sushma, you can see there in their dealings also. So Nambi got the first opportunity to see Yamunacharya. He was called Yamuna, then he became Yamunacharya later. Yamunacharya invited him and they started speaking. And Nambi says to him that, why did you get involved in this? The queen offered you half the kingdom. Why did you accept it? He said, he got the first, only opportunity he had got to talk to him. And he spoke so nicely, Nambi spoke to him. By the end of the conversation, Yamunacharya says, I want to go to Ranganatha's temple. Now, to such an extent he was attracted by that. All the way from Veeranarayanapuram, that's the village where they come from, right up to Srirangam, they were walking together and Nambi was reciting Bhagavad Gita to him. Whole of Bhagavad Gita, and nothing else was spoken. Right from Veeranarayanapuram, right up to Ranganatha's temple, one word was spoken. Whole Srimad Bhagavad Gita was spoken. Continuously reciting the verses. You can see the effect, and a person has that sattugunam there. And when you hear the verses in the Bhagavad Gita, it had its effect. As soon as he reached Srirangam, he says to Yamunacharya, sends his letter of resignation. Says, I had enough of it. Changed. Whole life changed. And he became Yamunacharya after that. And he wrote famous books, Stotra Ratnam and all, what he wrote are famous in the Vishishtadvaita tradition. Ramanujacharya went up to Yamunacharya and took initiation from him. It was finally to meet Yamunacharya, he was brought to Srirangam from Kanchipuram. He was brought there for that purpose, to meet Yamunacharya. Yamunacharya instructed Ramanuja about the future of the Ramanuja tradition, Vaishnava traditions all happened there. So, what is important here is, look how sattugunam works, isn't it? Sattugunam works like this. In a very subtle, very peaceful way, get things done. Whereas, how does tamogunam works? After sharing the bottle, then what do you do? The next gun. Pull the gun out, and if I didn't like you, I'll kill you. This is tamogunam. Rajogunam, tamogunam works in one way. Sattugunam works in a completely different way. When sattugunam is there, shastram will get in. Understanding will come. When rajogunam, tamogunam is there, shastram won't get in. This is the difference. You can see this practical example, how it operates. Gunam operates. How the three modes of nature operates in all of us. All of us. That is what Krishna is saying here also, sattva samshuddhi. Now you can understand why sattva samshuddhi is important. If we don't have that chitta shuddhi is sattva samshuddhi. If we have no purity, we don't have to blame Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam for that. When Krishna is saying to Arjuna certain things, Krishna is saying to Uddhava some things, if it's not coming in, whose fault is that? Our own. Nobody else's. Nobody else has to be blamed for that. It's not the fault of the Shastram. It's our fault. When Krishna is saying here that great personality, he was called Alavandar at that time, and this is how he was taken, brought back to spiritual life in a very silent way, but in a very effective way. And that change, what happened to Yamunacharya, was perfect. He never went back to material life again. Rest of the life, he lived a very, very spiritual life. Not only that, he made Ramanuja as the next Acharya and made Ramanuja's successful Vishishtadvaitam and the Sri Bhashyam. He told Ramanuja to write three things. Wrote Sri Bhashyam, came like that. Famous commentary on Vedanta Sutram and also Bhagavad Gita's commentary. And the same 10 Upanishads which Shankaracharya has commented, Ramanuja also commented later. That is how it happened. The Shobanishad, as it's called. So, evam prasanna manaso, in the Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, you will see that word. Evam prasanna manaso, bhagaval bhakti yogada, bhagaval tattva vijnanam, mukta sangasya jayate. In the first canto, you will see that word. Evam prasanna manaso. Prasanna manaso means this sattva gunam, very high degree inside. Pure sattva. Evam prasanna manaso. What will happen? Bhagavad Bhakti Yoga, da, Bhakti, proper Bhakti will develop for Krishna. Krishna's lotus feet. Bhagavad Tattva Vijnanam, along with that, what else will happen? Tattva Vijnanam will come. That's the end. That means all what Krishna is saying will become your experience, in other words. Bhagavad Tattva Vijnanam, what else? Mukta Sangasya Jayate. You will get released from this material existence. Evam prasanna manaso bhagaval bhakti yogada bhagaval tattva vijnanam mukta sangasya jayate. This is the result of that. Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavadam says that. Same thing. Vidyade hraya grandhi chidyande sarva samshaya kshiyande chanasya karmani dushto evalman ishwere. Another verse in the same chapter. Isn't it? So, so that is what has happened in the Ramanuja's case, in Yamunacharya's case. You can see when the food has this potency, that's what it is saying. Food has the potency. So when the sattugunam develops inside through prasadam, sattugunam is pure, then little by little remembrance of Krishna, meditation on Krishna, and all this continuation in spiritual life will happen. Our spiritual life is not like that, isn't it? We have infinite break happens in between in our spiritual activity, and we struggle very hard to stay in spiritual life. Like a fight it is from morning to night in many people's life to remain in spiritual. I'm trying to be spiritual Prabhu, he says. Remain, that means he's not very sure himself. Any moment it can fall. that kind of situation, isn't it? So it is because of this. In the olden days, what people used to do, those who have come to spiritual understanding in a peaceful way, what they used to do was that they will for a few days go away from home and stay in a big temple, and they won't take any food outside. Only they will take prasadam from the temple. Big temples they used to do. And they will spend all their time in the temple as much as possible. Either hearing Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, Ramayana, Mahabharatam, like that, and seeing the deity and participate in the temple life without getting involved with anything outside, just to boost this sattugunam inside. They may not be doing anything wrong at home, but they felt sometimes at home there is always different emotions, isn't it? Arguments or vyavaharam will be very strong at home, and that also destroys the sattugunam. Vyavaharam destroys sattugunam, because vyavaharam is always mostly rajogunam, tamogunam it is. So generally what they used to do after certain age in life, they'll go to some temple and spend sometimes 1 month, 2 months, like that, because they are retired or something. Just leave in the temple and don't give any attention to the world outside. That will give you a boost for the sattugunam. That will give you a boost for the sattugunam. But then you also have to be conscious at that time that everything is favorable for spiritual life. If there is a lot of vyavaharam going on there also, then it won't be very helpful. But that temple environment should be such that it should give you that sattugunam freely from inside. So, it is with the result of that, because of in this way only, Srimad Bhagavatam was spread by people. Those personalities who were left home like this, came to the temple, spent the time at the temple, and then they got absorbed in the Bhagavatam, and Bhagavatam became popular in that way. So, because that time, bhikshanam, that means the food that they take is either from the temple, mostly temple prasadam, and or if they have to beg, they'll go out and beg from a few houses, like a bhiksha they used to do. And just they give the example, just like they you take the nectar from the flowers, the bee goes and picks up the honey. In a similar way, you will only take from a 4 or 5 houses what you need. And they say like this, Paramahamsa sannyasis, Paramahamsas, what they do that in a house, them days they were not using gas or electricity for cooking, firewood or cow dung was used for cooking. And after they will know by looking at the house that the cooking is finished and the smoke that comes from the house is stopped. Once that is stopped, after that, about a couple of hours, they will leave. And then only they will go to the house for bhiksha. Why? Reason being, after they have taken food, if there was anything left behind, that way you are not even disturbing that family. So considerate, Paramahamsa stage, sannyasi, Paramahamsa sannyasis, they were like that. They will make sure that the house from where they are accepting food, that family should not feel a pressure from him. Sannyasi's approach, isn't it? That sannyasi state is that I am not creating any anxiety for anyone in this world. Not like in today. Sannyasi's arrival is like anxiety for everybody. That is Paramahamsa stage, isn't it? So that will help Sattugunam. That will create Sattugunam, because there you have not disturbed anybody by accepting food in that way. It will help that person who is accepting the food. So Krishna is saying, in this way Sattugunam builds up, because the way you acquire food is also important. That's what mentions there. That money, how you acquire to the food. But sannyasi cannot go to work and earn money and work and buy the food. So he has to depend on the society to feed him. But we are talking about a society that existed long ago, not today. So then this was the way they collected the food from the home. They will go, after making sure that the cooking is finished, and couple of hours they leave, so that family has finished their eating. And if there is any food still left, they will not have any hesitation giving to a sannyasi. That means, even there also, they are so considerate that the family is not taxed for any reason, which is not right. As a householder, Paramahamsa sannyasi means who is giving protection to everybody, including the grihastha also. So, if in this way Sattugunam builds up and inside it is purified, then Bhagavad Smriti, the knowledge of the self, and Bhagavad Gita, everything will become much easier to get in, to get inside. And when you hear Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, you'll feel a taste for that. You feel a taste for that. And connection with the soul, or Atma Vicharam, inquiry about the self, in a natural way, from inside, we'll get more attracted by the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. It won't become any more a big pressure on the mind. Oh, I have to listen to Bhagavad Gita for 3 hours. It's a lot. You won't moan anymore about it. Because morning is coming because of I have to sit for 3 hours. It's too much. That's why we have got very short classes these days, 10 minutes or so. It's more than enough. We don't need a lot, because I'm doing so much service. I don't need any more so much Bhagavad Gita, long Bhagavad Gita classes. Why? It becomes a strain because of this. Because of the lack of that Sattugunam inside. So, Krishna says here, So in this way, if Sattugana Shuddhi, that means your Sattugunam is purified now. It's not Malina Sattum anymore. Malina Sattum means with mixed with Rajas and Tamas. So, if this way it is not happening, then the option left is you have to do very intense sadhana to develop Sattugunam. That is the next alternative. If in this way, if you cannot create Sattugunam, the way what we have spoken so far, if that way Sattugunam is not building up, then the next alternative is to do intense sadhana. Intense sadhana. Ityartha. Because when you get into intense sadhana, the difficulty is that you got to have a very determined mind and commitment in spiritual life, isn't it? So Sattva Shuddhi, when Ityartha mentions there, that when Sattva Shuddhi happens, you will see in a person this cheating others and crookedness and diplomacy, all these things will go from that person. It will be very straightforward, simple and easy to deal with. A person who has got Sattugunam, it's easy to deal with him. Whereas the one you have to be frightened about is the one with the Rajogunam and Tamogunam, isn't it? So you can see when a person who has got Chitta Shuddhi, sitting with him itself is give you relief inside, being with that person, isn't it? So so a person is a devotee or not, that's a way to test. By sitting with that person, that means one who keeps one thing inside and saying something else outside. This duplicitous nature, isn't that not possible, isn't it? Sattvagunam is always pure. Sattvagunam is pure. And when Sattvagunam is pure, that is when Shraddha comes. You see? Sattvagunam and Shraddha is related like that. When Sattvagunam is very pure, Shraddha comes, isn't it? You remember in the Kathopanishad, that story? Najiketas went to Yama. Najiketas went to Yama, isn't it? And there, Shraddha Avivesha says there. If you look in the Kathopanishad, you will see there. That he went to, why did he go to Yamadharmaraja to discuss this question? And the only reason why Najiketas was a young boy and Yamadharmaraja won't entertain anybody easily. And Najiketas was so determined inside, and Shraddha came up inside, such a seriousness inside. And Yamadharmaraja was so impressed by that Shraddha in him. And he tried to avoid him, not answering the questions what he raised. Finally, he had to agree. He had to talk to him about the truth. That is all Kathopanishad is about, isn't it? You'll see there. So Shraddha comes from there, and when Shraddha happened, Najiketas started asking this question to his father, Uddalaka Arani. You will see there in the Kathopanishad. Then when he asked this question, and when he heard from Uddalaka, his father told him, why are you asking all these questions? His father had no Shraddha. Son had the Shraddha. So he says to the father, I want an answer from them. So Uddalaka says to him, that if you keep on asking these questions to me, I will make a sacrifice with you for Yama. I will send you to Yama's planet. This person, Shraddha, is so good, Najiketas. He says to the father, alright, where will I meet Yamadharmaraja? I want to ask him these questions. I want an answer for these things. That means his Shraddha has risen to such high level. That's what it means. It's only to indicate to us that it is spoken in that way, to make us aware that the power of that Shraddha, what it does to us, and that Shraddha comes from the very high intensity of Sattvagunam. So pure inside, that Sattvagunam of Najiketas. Sattvagunam of Najiketas. And same thing you can see in Lord Buddha's case. How Sattvagunam worked, isn't it? So when Sattvagunam was developing inside Lord Buddha, he started becoming conscious. Young man at the age of 18, 20, whatever that is, that age to develop a fear of old age, disease and death is very difficult. Even at the age of 80, it's not happening. People are saying, we don't have any fear about death. Prabhupada used to say this, that you are not getting fearful about death even at 80. What am I supposed to say to you, he said. You are not frightened about the old age, although you are suffering heavily. Still you are not frightened about the old age. And you got so many illnesses within you. Still you are not frightened. So what am I supposed to say to you, he said. Sometimes when you go for hospitals, go to the hospitals, and you will see there, see this place where they take the blood test. You go and sit there, and there's a queue, long number of people with you. Pull your ticket and wait there, isn't it? Sometimes they bring some people in the wheelchair. They are about 85, 90. Now what blood test is doing there? You start wondering, what is... So all these things are going on. The man is ready to leave the world, and they are doing a blood test on him, taking out another 3-4 syringes of blood from him. He's sitting there, he's sleeping in his wheelchair. Somebody has brought him there, whoever it is, for the blood test, I believe. And he gets a priority over others because he's so ill. So what I'm saying is that Sattvagunam builds up inside, everything changes in life. In a very smooth level, in a very subtle level, that things will happen, changes will happen inside. And that there, so look at every great personality, you will notice this. When Sattugunam built up inside, you will see that you will see death in you. You will fearful of death. That's when fearful of death happens. Now, when we talk about death, you're not frightened. You're not fear, oh, what is there to death? It will happen about 30, 40 years from now. And we'll try all of them. And everybody is dying, so what? This will be the answer. Is it not? We're not feeling any serious concern about death. That itself is an indication of lack of Sattugunam in us. But if Sattugunam is there, we will be fearful about death. We will be fearful about old age. People always ask this question, you're not frightened about death? Oh, no, no, no. Why? What is there to be frightened about death? Old age, what's there? Everybody is getting old, so what? And disease, yes, if disease comes, there is plenty of pharmacists and chemists and GPs and consultants and hospitals. What is worry about? This is due to rajogunam, tamogunam. Not feeling anything about it. Even that, what Shastra is expecting from us is that we should be feeling this, there is a thing called the death. There's a thing called disease, old age, and problems associated with that. That's how the inquiry begins, isn't it? The beginning of the inquiry. That's why Shastram keeps on insisting on this. But because of the lack of Sattugunam, even those inquiry doesn't happen. So, you remember in Maharshi's case, this is particularly significant. At the age of 16, when one was lying down here, there, says, suddenly he felt that I'm going to die. And he's lying down in the bed, he's thinking, what will happen to me after death? Who is dying? These questions don't normally happen to people. It's unusual questions, isn't it? So you're saying there, if they take my body after death and then they burn it in the crematorium, what happens to me? Who will ask this question normally? Nobody asks this question, isn't it? So at that time, when he asked that question, he realized that I am that substance which has no death. It came up from inside due to the purva vasana, previous vasanas from previous life. All this is happening due to the sattugunam. That sattugunam strength inside. When sattva shuddhi is very strong, if sattugunam is very pure inside, as soon as you hear or any thought develops inside about self-realization, you will become established in the truth. That is how sattugunam powerful it is. So now we know why it is not happening to us. That lack of sattugunam it is. Sattva samshuddhi, Krishna calls it as. Abhayam, sattva samshuddhi, jnana yoga vivasthiti. That is the next one, which we will see tomorrow. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. Jai. Jai.